much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
You know what you need to do. You know it in your heart. Time to be brave and do the right thing and don't blow your one chance.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
I love toast. Toast, toast, toast. Toast in my tummy. I love you, toast. Toast, toast. All kinds of toast. I love toast. Toast, toast. I love toast. Toast, toast, toast. Toast, toast. Every day, every meal. Yum, 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 yum. Toast.
How you keep it funky and juicy is the funk is the rhythm and all that jazz and the soul of the music and all that stuff. But you got to be lubricated now, almost like snot, you know what I mean?
And now,
how do you feel about No Cussing Week?
Bad.
Why?
Because I like cussing.
What do you have to say to the kid who's trying to start No Cussing Week?
F*** you.
Our feature presentation.
Of course.
Kevin's hero, that kid.
That is my hero. I'd like to start off by saying hockey. Back to you.
Yeah.
That was a surprise, wasn't it?
That was, yeah. I mean, they've been talking all week, but they've been saying that for months.
Yeah, they talk all the time, and nothing ever comes of it. It was just, there was a drop-dead date, though, that was looming, right?
Yeah, it was the 11th.
So if they didn't get it done this week, essentially, it was going to be goodbye for the whole season.
Yep.
Does that, I guess everybody's, playing the same number of games, but does that seem like a legitimate season to crown a champion at the end of only 48 games?
I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do.
How many games
about
that. Is it?
48.
Hmm.
I don't know. When you have a shortened season, it seems like a lot of things are changed, but.
Right.
I don't know.
But it still counts. You still get the Stanley Cup if you win, even if you've only played for 4 weeks.
That's correct, yeah.
I guess.
We played one game. We won.
Yeah, well, that is good news, though. Welcome into another all-new Kevin and Bean Show, this time for a Monday, the 7th of January. Here's a fantastic, fascinating story that I am desperately in love with.
Uh-oh.
Big build-up.
No, I'm serious.
I know. But when you're that excited about it, then it scares us.
What is it you're afraid it's going to be?
I don't know. Go ahead. Go ahead.
This one involves the law. Okay. Jonathan Freeman is his name from San Rafael, California. He was pulled over for driving alone in the carpool lane, Kevin.
How dare you?
He argued to the officer that, in fact, no, I'm not alone. I have a passenger. Now, people try this all the time. People try, here's my dog. People try, I'm pregnant. People are always trying to get around that two persons or three persons, depending on the state and the road, carpool lane, right?
Right.
His excuse was that he is a corporation. He waved his corporation papers at the officer, and he said, hey, under California law, and in fact, under the law of the United States of America, corporations are people. Therefore, I have another person in the car with me.
He's talking about himself, though. Himself, yes. The person, and then himself, the corporation?
Well, I don't know about that. It sounds to me like he's talking about a corporation that he works for, I guess, maybe. I'm not sure.
Or but he incorporated himself.
Maybe that's what it is, yeah. But the point is, he's not trying to pull a fast one. He has been driving around for a year hoping to get pulled over in the carpool lane because he wants to go to court because he so vehemently disagrees with the Supreme Court ruling that corporations are people. He's trying to figure out a way to trip that up. So in other words, he is going to court this week, I think, and he is going to argue to the judge, hey, the government of the United States via the Supreme Court in 2010 says that corporations are people. Therefore, I had a second person by the government's own definition in my car. You need to let me go. And he is hoping he loses that case and it starts the argument up against so that this will be revisited and that maybe one day corporations will not be considered people again.
So
that's a long game, isn't it?
Yeah, so he wasn't
driving around every day.
He wasn't trying to weasel out of a ticket. He was trying get a ticket.
Yes.
So that he could then prove that the law that makes him, wow, that's bizarre.
That's exactly what he's trying to do, yes.
Huh.
I mean, there are millions of people who agree with him that the Supreme Court screwed up big time when they ruled. And remember, the reason they ruled is because it was campaign donations. The Supreme Court was asked, hey, is there a restriction on how much corporations are allowed to donate to political parties?
Oh,
and they came back and said, people are corporations, and that there would be a limit on free speech because money equals free speech. Therefore, no, they can give as much as they want because they're people. And it's just been mocked ever since, although they're the Supreme Court and they make the law of the land. There's nothing anyone can do about it once they've ruled. That's it. So he's just trying to basically gum up the works.
Huh.
So isn't that interesting that he's going to this?
It is
these links to make it happen.
And it's fascinating that for a year he has tried to get a ticket.
That's fascinating.
He just needed to put Kevin in his car.
How dare you?
He's just been driving up and down that carpool lane every day by himself, just praying that someday somebody would see him. Now, of course, everything goes awry if the police officer who gave him the ticket doesn't show up. Then he's hosed.
Oh, man.
Then they just say, sorry, sir, you're free to go.
That guy has every other problem in his life solved. But he's gotten down to this one.
Hey, I give him credit for, you know, thinking outside the box to try to get something that's important to him revisited in the courts. I support this guy very much. But this is definitely one story I'm going to be keeping an eye on. I can't wait to see what happens with this dude.
I'm not that excited about the story, but let us know. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
The joy that I am feeling right now is profound and unmatched in the modern era.
Wow. Wow. That may be too much for this show. We have Andrew Siciliano talking about the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
As we are in playoff time now. We have new laws in California. Like 8,000 new laws in California.
It's bonkers.
Ridiculous. Harvey Levin from TMZ.com on the program today. Is your spouse gaining too much weight a reason for divorce? Whether it be a man or a woman, they gain a tremendous amount of weight. Is that a good reason to get a divorce? Bean says yes, and we'd like to argue with him.
What did I say yes?
I just figured I'd throw you under the bus. Timothy Oliphant on the program today talking about Justified.
Mm-hmm.
And Psycho Body will be on the show today as well. Plus, Bean has a mystery break.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so
really? We should be worried.
Because why is there so little confidence in what I bring to the show? I contribute mightily.
No, it's not that.
Mystery break means one of us.
Yeah, it means one of us is a target and you just don't want to tell us ahead of time.
How dare you?
Usually that's what it means.
It's not one of you guys, I promise. It's just Kevin.
Okay. Oh, great. And the King of Mexico is back from Australia.
I know, I gave him a big hug. Missed him.
Yeah.
You didn't miss him?
Well, yeah, I missed him, but there was no hug.
Oh.
But he's going to tell us about hugging a wombat. The guy went all the way to Australia to hug a wombat.
He did.
I saw a picture. A wombat is nothing like what I thought it was.
Oh, they're ugly.
Yeah.
Yeah. The hideous creature.
But he looked real happy. Looked like that
possessed by Satan. A hideous creature possessed by Satan.
Have we seen Mr. Garman yet, by the way?
We have not, no.
Because he was on Loveline last night, so I just want to make sure he's here. So it's a late show to turn around and get up and do Showbiz Beat for us in 10 minutes.
Well, we'll check on that, and then we will come back with the Showbiz Beat next on K-Rock. Well, 6.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show at 551.
Song's not coming back.
Nope.
Nope. Kevin doesn't like to cheat the listeners enjoy that music from the very last drops.
Lots of you have probably never heard the Red Hot Chili Peppers who listen to our show, so we wanted to give you every last note.
Happy to see you, Ralph Garman. You did not really have a weekend as much as you promoted Joe Schmo all Saturday and Sunday, right?
It was a busy weekend, yes, but it was very enjoyable. I did the TCAs, as they're known as, on Saturday. The Television Critics Association gathers in Pasadena each and every year, and they trot out all the networks and all the basic cable channels, and everybody presents their new programming for the upcoming year.
Right.
And is it me, or are we on AM radio now?
Yeah, it does sound weird.
We're having all kinds of trouble with the electronics here today.
Sounds very strange.
Yeah.
Anyway, so Spike TV did a presentation, and we brought out Joe Schmo with the producers and a couple other cast members, and we took questions from the television critics, and we were in the New York Times.
The Falcon has spoken.
That was the second one. This is Jake Montrose, bounty hunter.
Jake Montrose.
In this one.
You know what? And I know we're going to be talking much more about it because it returns tomorrow night on Spike, right? Yes. That's when Joe. One of the things that I noticed, and I saw several articles over the weekend, is the affection that television critics have for that as kind of being, you know, one of the all time great reality TV shows.
I don't know about that, but the New York Times called it a classic. You know,
what?
I don't know if that's affection or just.
Classic.
Or just honest reporting.
I think people love it because it's different from anything else on television, and that's very rare to see.
Yeah, and we were actually surprised at how nicely we were received by the television critics. The questions they were asking were very positive, and that was good. And then last night I did Loveline with Dr. Drew and our buddy Mike Catherwood.
How was that?
That was a blast. We had a great time. So, yeah, it's been a busy weekend, but looking forward to Tuesday night and seeing how well we do and whether I have a TV career again or not. Every 10 years or so, I trot out my TV career to see if it sticks this time.
Well, we'll find out a lot more about that again, Joe Schmo, tomorrow night on Spike. In the meantime, though, it's Monday here on the Kevin and Bean Show, 5:52. Time for our first look at Showbiz Beat.
Since it is Monday, as Bean mentioned, we'll take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. We do this every Monday morning to give you an idea what people spent their hard-earned movie dollars on. And, boy, I guess they wanted to see young, pretty girls being hacked up by chainsaws. That's what America wants, people. We've got our mandate. Texas Chainsaw 3D made $23 million at the box office this weekend, making it number one. Right behind that was Django Unchained, made $20 million. That puts it just a little over $1.6 million in 2 weeks. Not too shabby. The Hobbit was third. Then Les Mis was fourth, and Parental Guidance coming in at number five with just $10 million. Who's going to see Parental Guidance? Those are the people I want to talk to.
My upstairs neighbors.
Oh, couldn't wait to get to see Bette Midler and Billy Crystal.
And told me last night to go. It's so funny.
Stop that, everyone.
Must be for grandparents, right?
Yeah.
Jack Reacher was sixth. This is 40. Lincoln, The Guilt Trip, and Promised Land rounding out the top 10 at the box office this weekend. Guilt Trip has to be the lowest grossing film project Barbara Streisand's ever been involved in.
Probably,
right?
Yeah.
I mean, no one's going to see that thing. While we're talking about divas like Barbara Streisand, Jennifer Lopez is in the news again. There have been legendary stories about her diva demands when she stays in hotels or she goes out to on the road to do her show. According to Star Magazine, she was recently staying at a hotel while filming a movie called Parker in Florida, and she demanded that all of the flowers at the hotel, not just in her room, all of the flowers in the hotel be only white.
How do people get to that point?
That, who could possibly care what color the flowers were at the hotel you were staying? What's going on in your life where that is a detail that you pay attention to? She also stated that any and all extension cords in her room, in her line of sight, be white as well.
Does this seem like it's possibly made up, like that couldn't have really happened?
Yeah, well, there is that. I can't believe anyone
would. It's weird to not be true.
Yeah, I believe it, but it's hard to believe.
You're going to make something up. Why would you pick extension cords? And they must be white.
I don't know. It's crazy.
Brown extension cords just make her nuts.
Oh. Well, I'm with her on that, by the way.
Of course you are.
Wait, you're kidding, though, right, Bean?
I'm not a fan of the brown ones.
Oh, my God!
Yeah, no. Bean has very strong.
Can you imagine if Bean had enough power in the business to get a rider on his contract wherever he wants to place, what his demands would be?
I would never make demands like that.
You
I'm
would.
Just talking about
all the pens must be blue.
For my home,
the extension cord must be white.
Oh, for your home, you don't have a single brown election extension cord.
There may be some, and
but you're not happy about it.
He just hasn't changed those out yet.
Yeah. I do prefer the white. I'm with J-Lo on this.
When the dentist flew in to clean her teeth, she had her dentist flown in to clean her teeth at the hotel.
Of course she did, because you can't find dentists in other parts of the country.
No.
Well, cleaning your teeth is an expertise that not everyone does.
Jen's assistant told the staff only to talk to him because Jennifer would not talk to the staff of the hotel.
What is happening?
It's just madness. Madness.
How do you go to a hotel and then demand not to talk to anyone there?
I have no idea. I just know that Jennifer was actually lucky to be at that hotel. I know the hotel she was staying at in Florida. And they are booked solid almost all year round. It's a very popular hotel down there in South Florida. And just to think that they would have the space not only for Jennifer, but for her sizable entourage and her assistants and all the people who she travels with, stunned me. Because I've known this hotel. I tried to get in this hotel many times. They told me no vacancy.
Wow.
How is it possible that Jennifer Lopez could get more than one room at this very popular hotel?
I can't imagine. What do you think, Rob?
Well, it dawned on me after I thought about that for a good long time.
Stop it.
It struck me that there's always room for J-Lo.
That's just not good.
That is sweet. Happy New Year, everybody. Porn star Kim Kardashian, of course, still in the news. Because she's going to have a baby. Apparently, she's the first one.
What?
Yeah. Apparently, she's going to a human being's going to come out of her.
Wow.
As opposed to going into her. And Star Magazine
does both.
Did a story this week saying that she has made some quotes in the past that make her sound not as intelligent. as she might like.
What?
Yeah. They listed some of them. I thought they were very funny. For instance, the kids from Teen Mom are all over the news, even on the covers of magazines, and have become almost like celebrities. But girls, these are not people you should idolize.
She's one to talk.
Yeah, no kidding.
What's my talent? She was asked in an interview. Well, a bear can juggle and stand on a ball, and he's talented, but he's not famous. You know what I mean?
It's a good point.
She has a point there. It's hard to argue.
The bear should be more famous.
That's right.
If the bear can do that. Yeah. And my favorite, I'm a little obsessed with Twitter, but I'm even more obsessed with fighting AIDS. That's comparable. Glad to see you still there fighting the good fight. Holy crap.
And without her help, AIDS will never be solved.
No, it won't. Sad news for a couple celebrities who had some run-ins with the law over the New Year holiday. Josh Brolin, one of my favorites, got popped for public intoxication in Santa Monica just before midnight on December the 31st.
Oh, you shouldn't be allowed to arrest people just before midnight on December 31st for drinking.
For public intoxication?
On.
Yeah,
come
that's
on.
Just unfair.
That's ridiculous.
Same premise as arresting people for masturbating inside a porn theater, in my opinion.
Exactly.
It's just, look, that's what it's there for. Just let the people go about their business.
Who did get the masturbation in the theater last week, Ralph?
Nick Stahl from
Terminator. How much time do the police have if they can go to porn theaters and look for people masturbating?
Yeah,
seriously.
It's just madness. Brolin was apparently finally booked into jail around 3 o'clock in the morning, released at 7 o'clock in the morning, and won't face any further charges. He just paid the $250 fine, and he was released.
What is this, Mexico?
Apparently he is. He paid the right people, and he was on his way. And another guy who ran into the cops after being overserved, perhaps Thomas Gibson from Criminal Minds over there on CBS. He was told by authorities early yesterday morning that part of downtown Los Angeles was closed to vehicles due to a half marathon. He said, okay, and then proceeded to drive through the route of the marathon anyway. He was popped by police, taken into custody, and arrested on DUI charges. So
he's your hero, by the way, for saying F you to a marathon.
He should have waited until it got started and then started mowing people down is what he should have done. If you're going to make a stand, take a stand, Thomas Gibson. Take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Lauren Cohen from The Walking Dead. She is 31 years old today.
Who's she?
I don't know.
Okay.
Dustin Diamond, your buddy Screech.
Oh.
Guys, you love Screech.
Love Screech.
I think to this day, still the only guest ever thrown off the Kevin and Bean show, if I'm not mistaken.
That, the Scientologist
PR
guy. Oh,
that's right. Yeah, we threw him out,
just
too.
Just those two guys.
He is 36 years old. John Rich of Big and Rich. You know John Rich. He was the one on Celebrity Apprentice.
Oh, yeah.
That's right. Yeah.
And you know Big and Rich, because they had that smash hit, You Gotta Fight for Your Right to Party. That's how we all know them. Because
that's the definitive version of that
song. They recorded that version, and then I think the Beastie Boys did a cover of it.
Did a weak-ass cover, yeah.
Less successful version of You Gotta Fight for Your Right to Party. Do we have that available? Can we play a little audio of that? Who am I? Look who I'm asking.
Yeah.
Look at the.
We'll have it available next hour.
Big, dumb, Jewish lumberjack over there in his flannel shirt, just not knowing what's going on.
We'll have it next hour.
Jared had the look in his eyes like he'd never heard of that song
couldn't
before.
Couldn't see it coming from a mile away. If you're standing on a train track, heads up! I started with the Big and Rich cover of the Beastie Boys' Fight for Your Right to Party. We've played it 100 times on this show.
Never pulled it up in my life.
Jeremy Renner. What a great actor this guy is, huh?
He is.
Hansel and Gretel. I can't wait for
it. Yeah, it looks good. This Hansel and Gretel. He's 42 years old today. Boy, he looks good for 42. Rex Lee of Entourage. Lloyd! 44 years old. Nicolas Cage is 49.
He's more of a birthday protector.
Katie Couric turns 56. And actor David Caruso from NYPD Blue. And then, of course, CSI Miami. He's 57 years old today. I guess you can teach an old dog new tricks. Yeah! That's how that show always starts, with some sort of saying or cliche or something.
Yeah.
I'll work on that.
Uh-huh.
It's early yet. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
How's this for timing, by the way? Announcing K-Rock's World Tour 2013 destination number one, Linkin Park in Sydney, Australia.
Australia!
That's right. You can listen at 9:10 this morning, also 12:10, 3:10, and 6:10 this evening for your chance to score Linkin Park's latest album called Living Things and get on the standby boarding list and maybe go to Australia like our friend Dave, the King of Mexico, who joins us back in studio for the first time in 2013. First of all, Dave, welcome back, my friend. How
Thank
are you,
sir? Good day. Good on you.
Happy birthday. Sorry we missed your birthday this week, too.
That's all right.
You have, like many Americans, been wanting to go to Australia for a long, long time. You finally made it happen. You pulled the trigger, went over the holidays. That's awesome.
Not only I think I practically lived there, you know. I was there for most of the month of December and some of January.
Wow.
Yeah.
Is it true?
Why did you go? What was the reason that you wanted to go?
The main reason I wanted to go was to hug a wombat.
To hug a wombat.
That's not a lie.
I know. I'm just trying to get my head.
Did you feel they needed a hug?
I'm just trying to get my head around it because a lot of people will go for, say, scuba diving off the Great Barrier Reef.
There was the Great Barrier Reef, yes.
Sure.
There was Sydney.
Sightseeing.
Yeah, this is great.
Sydney on New Year's Eve.
Oh, yeah. I went, did that.
Yeah.
And, yeah, none of that compared to hugging a wombat.
Now, I sort of get this because I know what it's like to be obsessed with an animal and want to be able to handle it.
That's what Dave was doing with a wombat.
No, what I'm saying is it's fine to see them in a zoo, but if there's an opportunity, like if I could play with a tapir, I would go to wherever I had to play with a tapir because that's my spirit animal. Dave's animal is the wombat.
It's your what?
My spirit animal.
What the hell does that mean?
And look it up. So, Dave, so you have always wanted to hang out with a wombat, and the only place on Earth where you can go and actually handle one is Australia, right?
Yes, and not only in Australia, just a certain section of Australia, because like where Sydney's at in New South Wales, it's illegal to touch wombats or hold wombats and do any of that. You cannot touch them. Yeah. So I had
to go. What you were doing with the wombat?
Yeah. So I had to go all the way to the East Coast in a small little town called Townsville.
So you went all the way there just to hug a wombat?
Yes.
So that would be like coming to the United States on vacation and you going to New York and D.C. and hanging out on the East Coast and doing all that and then going, well, it looks like we got to fly to San Francisco.
Yeah.
You want to hug a wombat? I mean, it's literally, Australia is that big. You have to go all the way across the country.
Not only that, it's like, all right, let's fly to San Francisco and then drive a couple hours down the coast to go to some little town down the coast of California.
If I'm the person with you, I'm like, I'm going to have pay-per-view today. You go ahead and go on down there and get your hug.
Luckily, the way we planned it out, it was on our way to the next city, so...
I need to hug a wombat.
So, Dave, tell us about hugging a wombat. Is it everything you hoped it would be?
It was everything I dreamed of, you know, and it lasted about maybe a minute.
I saw the picture, and that wombat...
I will post a picture right now, yeah.
That wombat wanted to get away from
you. Oh, no, the wombat.
The wombat
loved it.
Desperate to get away
loved
from you.
Loved it. Oh, I just...
All four legs leaning away, trying to get away.
Because, you know, going in, you see the pictures of other people holding it, and they were cradling it, and I was like, oh, I want to cradle it and nuzzle it and do all that.
What, are you going to breastfeed it? What's going on with you?
No, no, just cradle it like a baby, you know, because they're so heavy that you're going to need two arms underneath
it. It's big.
Yeah, those things are big, yeah. So, you know, then they sit in our lap, and they're like, all right, you have to close your knees, and I was like, oh, come on. And so I was picking it up.
You have to close your pants, too?
How to pull them up.
Doesn't look like it.
I tried.
Not the picture. Doesn't look like in the picture.
Yeah. So I pull it up, and then I start, you know, like, snuggling it and like, just giving it a whiff, like, you know, just to see what a wombat smells like.
What does a wombat smell like?
A wombat, you know, just like a dog. Dirty. Yeah.
Great insight. Worth going all the way to Australia for.
No, but then, you know, I gave it a little kiss on the back of a little fat neck. And
is that before you did what you were doing in the photo?
I wasn't doing anything bad in the photo. Yeah, but, you know, I gave it a nice big hug, and then they got my picture snapped, and they're like, all right, give it back. And I was like, nope. No, give it back. Like, nope. Uh-uh. Seriously. I was like, can I take it with me? Like, nope.
So
they literally
had
to pry it from my hand, yeah.
Is that this wombat's job all day long is just to sit on one American's lap after another?
Yes, yes. And it's funny because there was a lot of like people from Australia and New Zealand because they don't get a chance to hold wombats, you know? And this place, Billabong Sanctuary in Townsville, Australia, Queensland, it was awesome.
That's the strangest reason to go to Australia I've ever heard of.
But,
I mean, not scuba diving, not swimming with the sharks, none of that.
Yeah, it was worth it. And I did all of that too, but nothing compared to holding a wombat and a koala.
Oh, you got to do that too?
Yeah, a koala climbed up my arm.
At the same place?
The same place, yeah.
Oh,
this is
now I'm in.
Producer Dave, the King of Mexico, just returning from his Australian vacation. And I have to ask, Dave, and this is the thing that was most curious to me, because we all followed your tweets with great interest while you were gone. And you love these animals, and you were so excited about meeting these animals. But didn't you eat most of what grows in Australia on a plate at one point? Were you eating kangaroo and wallaby and everything else?
I did eat most of Australia's big animals.
Okay,
no koala, no wombat. But I did eat kangaroo, emu, and the barramundi, which is their fish, and... crocodile, which was delicious. All of them were
delicious.
Was that the
best?
Yes, crocodile was the best. Yeah.
Okay.
Tastes exactly like chicken, but just a little tougher.
How is it the best if it tastes just like...
No,
I could stay
like kind of chicken, chicken, but just tougher.
I could stay in Los Angeles and eat chicken.
Yeah,
I don't have to fly to Australia.
You know what? I met a crocodile in the wild. I'm glad I ate him. Damn.
Okay.
Yeah. Right.
All right, good.
So for the rest of us who have always wanted to go to Australia and have not made the trip yet, totally worth it, right? Sounds like totally. The best place to go.
You know, did go scuba diving, though, because I'll punch you right in the face.
I did go scuba diving right at the Great Barrier Reef. Right, I did the Sydney Opera House, saw a show there, climbed the bridge, did everything. Australia was amazing. Flights were a breeze. One was 14 hours, one was 12 hours. No problem.
Well, that's not terrible. I thought it was like 30 hours or something.
Well, you do miss a day when you fly over there because of the time change. But other than that, then yeah, it was great. And I'm glad I went. And thanks for letting me have a couple of days off
to
continue my trip. And
Welcome back, man.
Are charges being pressed for what you did with the wombat?
I did have to leave really fast and change my passport a little. But
there you go.
You know, it was worth it.
I was afraid of that.
Andrew Siciliano from the NFL Network. Next hour, recapping the NFL playoffs, the wild card weekend. Also, hockey's back if you haven't heard about that. And Timothy Oliphant joins us from Justified. That's all coming up. Is it true we have not talked to Harvey Levin from TMZ.com in 2013? Is this the first time?
I believe so, yeah. So
Harvey!
I've been around.
Hey, Harvey.
Happy New Year.
That's
Happy
correct.
New Year. Happy New Year, guys.
Great to talk to you. So much ground to cover on TMZ.com. You guys continue to do the Lord's work. Justin Bieber is paying off for you in page views lately, isn't he?
Well, I got to tell you, it's like usually December, toward the end of the month and beginning of January is really slow.
Right.
Holy smokes.
Yeah.
You've been busy.
This has been a crazy 2 weeks. So Justin Bieber, the tragic story about the photographer who was killed following Justin's car.
Right.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Thinking Justin was in it, and instead it was a rapper named Lil Twist, who's a friend of Justin's. Well, the day after that happened, Lil Twist and Justin were in a hotel room in Newport Beach. And what's interesting about this story is that the photographer believed Justin had been smoking marijuana while he was driving that Ferrari earlier in the day, which is one of the reasons he said it was trailing him.
Oh, the guy that got killed?
That's right.
Oh, okay.
So the next day, Justin is at a Newport Beach hotel with Lil Twist. Lil Twist is rolling blunts, and Justin is smoking them.
Mm-hmm.
And there are people in the room, and somebody takes a picture, a couple of pictures, and we end up, you know, we got the pictures, and, you know, it's interesting because a lot of the people on the website think, hey, you know, it's a joint. It's no big deal.
Right.
But, you know, I can tell you that people around Justin really think that this Lil Twist guy is a bad, bad, bad influence on Justin. You know, who knows? But Lil Twist has a Twitter profile of himself smoking a joint.
Right. Yeah.
And let me interject here too, Harvey, and that is to say that if it's just your random 18-year-old kid, you know, smoking pot in a hotel room, maybe it's not that big a deal. But, you know, he's a multi-million-dollar industry, and I'm sure there are a lot of people who are freaking out about his image at this point, right?
Well, and I will say, look, and he has. This is not the only time he's done it. I mean, he's done it at other hotels in Beverly Hills with Lil Twist, and that's one of the reasons why. Yeah, his people are not. People around him are not happy about this.
Do you have Lil Twist's number?
Oh, God. I love the takeaway that you guys got on the stories.
Now, Harvey, at the top of your site is a photo of Justin Bieber saying, "Attention, party rules. Any pictures that are taken, I own." That's not legal.
Well, you know, it's murky, but the problem with the problem in the Newport Beach case is nobody saw the signs if they were there at all. And, you know, the security people that he had certainly didn't do anything. And what happens a lot with these, you know, with these celebrities is they co-opt their security people. So it may be that the security people kind of turned a blind eye to whatever was going on because they feel like they're working for Justin. And
right.
Maybe you know, and maybe other people who are in Justin's world say, no, that's not why you're there.
But the idea, if I'm walking by and I see Justin Bieber smoking pot.
No, it's your picture.
And I take a photo. That's my picture.
So what they were trying to say was, if it's in a, you know, like in a hotel room where there's a party,
but
that's murky for them to be able to say something like that.
Still
but
murky.
Whatever, there was no evidence of any signs in that room.
Gotcha. This is the voice of Harvey Levin from TMZ.com here on the Kevin and Bean Show on a Monday, talking about all the great stories on the site. Another thing that happened over the holidays, and there's been follow-up since, and we haven't had a chance to talk to you, Harvey, is Charlie Sheen. At the party, I guess he probably got paid a bunch of money to be one of the celebrity guests at a grand opening of a new place down in Mexico. He got in some trouble. Tell folks what he did.
Well, it's actually not so much that they got money. Charlie is a partner in a bar down there called Sheen's. It's at the El Gaza Hotel. It's a swanky new hotel down in Cabo.
Ah, okay.
And he was down there for the grand opening, and Slash performed a couple of other bands. He introduced the bands and hurled the F word, a homophobic slur, to the crowd. And so I talked to Charlie, because we got video of this, and I talked to Charlie just before we put the video up, and he said two things. One, he didn't mean to offend anybody. It was just everybody was having fun, and it was just the heat of the moment. And then he said, secondly, I'm not sure this was a good idea. He said, I meant to say maggot, but I
have
a list.
There it is. I meant to say maggots, but I have a list, is his defense.
What?
Yeah.
A lisp. Now, that's hilarious, first of all. That's funnier than anything he ever did on Two and a Half Men. But second of all, is there any celebrity more Teflon than Charlie Sheen? Can you imagine how many other people on network television, of course he's on cable now, I guess, how many other people on television, though, Harvey, would have been drummed out of the industry for something like that, and it just rolls off Charlie's back.
But you gotta, and this is what's so interesting about Charlie, you gotta look at the history here. That, you know, somebody like Justin Bieber, who, you know, kind of puts out this squeaky clean image, it's always shocking when it's not.
Right.
But Charlie never pretended.
Yeah, he's the opposite of that.
He's the opposite of that, and you know what? It's worked for him.
It has totally worked for him. He can be the
totally
biggest a-hole in the world, and people are like, well, that's Charlie, and then they forgive him and go on and watch the next thing.
Now, Mayor Villaraigosa, a different story.
Not quite so much, yeah.
And the mayor was there and got his photo taken with Charlie, and now he's taking some heat for that, right?
Well it's funny because one of the stations out here did an interview with him, and the mayor said, well, you know, I talked to him for like 3 minutes, and that was it. I had to take pictures with 50 people a day. It's interesting because the day right before we posted the story, we called the mayor's office to see if we could get comment on the mayor being around there when he's hurling the F word, and we got a big old no comment.
Ah. Look, I don't blame the mayor for this, by the way. I don't.
Oh,
think
no,
that,
no, no,
it's
no.
Not his. Yeah, I mean, I believe his story is he takes his picture with everybody all day long. He's a politician. That's what he does, right?
Well,
he endorses everything the person says.
Look, I really like the mayor, but. Come on, guys. You know, it's one thing when, like, a president takes a picture with 1,000 people and then one guy ends up being this obscure mob guy.
Right.
When you take a picture with Charlie Sheen and everybody knows his history.
Yeah, you know what you're getting.
You know, come on.
Yeah.
All right, great stuff. TMZ.com, the entertainment website of record, and, of course, TMZ Live weekday afternoons at 4, and then the old-fashioned TMZ show like 10 times a day on Fox as well. Harvey, happy New Year, my friend. Thanks for coming on with us.
You too, guys.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Later this morning at 9:10, in fact, we're going to hook you up with tickets for, well, actually, Linkin Park's latest album, Living Things, and then potentially tickets for Linkin Park in Sydney, Australia. It's KROQ World Tour 2013, destination number one, just announced and happening all week long here on KROQ, 9:10 in the morning, then 12:10, 3:10, and 6:10. Details at KROQ.com.
You know, the government enacts new laws, and they take effect January 1st. And a couple of days ago, 876 new laws.
Could you name those for me? I just want to make sure I'm staying current.
Please. I could not. I don't even understand how they could come up with that many laws. But as of this past January 1st, 876 new laws took place in California.
Well, I guess everything that they vote on throughout the year generally then just goes into effect on a certain date, January 1st. So this is, you know, basically 12 months worth of work. Everything that we voted on last year or was voted on the legislature last year now takes effect. And there's actually some pretty interesting ones on this list. And I wonder what the story is, like why some of these were introduced. For instance, it is legal in California to dictate a text message while you're driving.
Right.
Now, that's a pretty specific law, right? Can't talk on your phone unless it's hands-free, but you can dictate a text message. Like, how did that ever happen? Why is that a law?
Well, I think dictating you can do hands-free.
Yeah, yep. I guess that's what they're saying.
Yeah.
This is bad news for you, Kevin. You can no longer take your dog with you when you are bear or bobcat hunting.
What?
I didn't know people bobcat hunted here.
That apparently is a new law. We wanted to find out more about these and other laws, so we asked producer Dave, could you please light us up? Someone far more knowledgeable than we are. Peyton Dickey joins us on the phone from the California State Information Council? Informative Council? What's that say?
Information.
Information Council. Hi, Mr. Dickey. How are you, sir?
Good morning. How are you guys?
Very good. Thank you.
Well, we're fine. Happy New Year, first of all. Sounds like you guys have been very busy in Sacramento, huh?
Yeah, as you mentioned, 876 bills were passed during the past legislative session. So there are lots of new laws take place taking effect, rather, here in California after the first of the year, and we just encourage all California residents to try to look these over and get familiar with them, because, as you know, ignorance of the law is no excuse should you get in trouble with a law enforcement
officer. What are some of the bigger ones that you could...
Some of the ones that got most attention this year were, one was known as the... is being called by the media as the Westboro Law, but this makes picketing at funerals a misdemeanor.
Excellent.
For groups like the Westboro Baptist Church, who wave signs at funerals of homosexuals or military members or federal judges. So for an hour prior to and an hour after, you're not allowed to picket those funerals. That would be considered a misdemeanor in the state of California.
I'm very happy to see America moving toward restricting free speech. That's great. What else, Mr. Dickey?
A lot of people are concerned about the social media these days, and there's a new law that bans public and private universities from requiring students to disclose their usernames or passwords for social media like Facebook, so that they can't hold that against you. Same goes to employers is also can no longer demand a worker or applicant's username or password for
That's
social
a big
media.
Deal. Yeah. Right?
I didn't know they could do that. I didn't know they could force you to give them.
Prior to this year, they could demand to see your Facebook page or your Twitter feed, and they would obviously, depending on what they found there, it would affect your school or employment.
I would never get into college.
You mentioned a couple of those that have been kind of talked about in the news a lot, kind of the high-profile laws. But with 876 laws, my fear, Mr. Dickey, is that we're breaking laws that we don't even know exist anymore because it's impossible to keep up with everything that's new.
That's true. Some of the lesser-known new laws, they're not all prohibitive. Some actually make things that were priorly illegal now legal in the state of California.
Oh, like what?
Law SB 3172, which now makes it legal to hit a guy wearing an Ed Hardy t-shirt in the face with a bag of pennies.
Is that right?
Yeah.
That's legal?
Can't be a big bag. Can't be a big bag. Like a small Ziploc baggie full of pennies. You can just hit him right in the face.
Okay.
Oh, that's fantastic. That's great news.
AB 4189. Involves the use of commercial airlines in the state of California. If you are boarding a flight in California, it requires all douchebags to give their seat up to a pregnant woman if she needs to
How dare you?
Yeah, that's the douchebag law.
I feel that is handcrafted towards someone in particular,
call
sir.
That the bean law.
It's just common human decency is what we're trying to encourage here with douchebags who wouldn't do that.
Understood.
There's the no breakfast law.
No breakfast.
Yeah, it's AB 9135.
What does that mean?
Involves impaired judgment. The law says that any man who has sex with a woman after three or more alcoholic beverages can demand that she leaves first thing in the morning when he wakes up. And she has to comply. No need for breakfast or small talk or coffee or anything. Just get the F out the door.
I like it.
Okay, that's good to know.
The safe driver law, a lot of people were talking about this, SB 1901. This prohibits Kevin Ryder from ever driving on surface streets and or highways.
How dare you,
sir?
We
just feel everyone is safe. Anywhere is safer now.
Anywhere in the state of California, he's not allowed to drive.
He cannot drive an automobile.
Okay.
He can still drive a small scooter like a Vespa or something like that, so we can all point and laugh at him.
I'm in a Vespa gang, so I'm cool.
And lastly, the public health issue, AB 1731. Requires each and every California resident to get their Kardashian spayed or neutered.
Oh, good.
We simply can't have any more Kardashians having babies. That's not acceptable.
That. Yeah.
Too late for Kim, but it'll be good for the next generation.
Well,
I guess.
We're more worried about Khloe than anybody else.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:53.
Andrew Siciliano from the NFL Network recaps the wild card weekend in football coming up next hour. Plus, why Kevin makes his poor, sweet wife step on a scale every day before he leaves the house. That's the last thing that he makes her do before he walks out the door.
100% a lie.
It's in the prenup. She loses $100,000 for every pound she gains.
That is a lie.
Jeez. Kevin's got a lot of very strict weight rules at his house. We'll discuss coming up after the top of the hour. First, though, Ralph, it's your time of the show. Good morning, Ralph.
And if she ever gets older, ooh, boy, she's out the door. It's rough over there.
Before I get to show business news, how about giving away my first tickets of the new year? I've got passes to the K-Rock Advance screening of Guillermo del Toro's new film, Mama.
Yeah!
Looks awesome.
Yay!
Looks horrifically scary. Awesome. I don't want any piece of it.
Awesome.
You know me. I do not like the horror movies with the creepy kids. This one's got two of them.
Love it.
Mama! It is January the 15th at the AMC Burbank 16. Mama's in theaters everywhere Friday, January the 18th, but you will see it 3 days before its release. If you're one of our lucky callers right now, 1-800-520-1067 is the number to call. First five callers who get through will get a pair of passes to our advanced screening of the new film, Mama.
And by the way, like Guillermo del Toro is not already, I got to see everything he's associated with. Then you throw in Jessica Chastain and you go, win, right?
Yeah.
She's amazing.
These two kids are left alone in a forest for 5 years. And when they're found, they're like feral cats. You're just more animal than human at this point. So this couple has to raise their young nieces. And it turns out that maybe they weren't as alone in the forest as we thought.
Okay.
Maybe Mama is lingering around.
Creepy.
Having her say-so to the kids from another place.
Love it.
Good luck with that.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't need to meet Mama. I don't need to know Mama.
You need to watch Mama.
I am terrified just by the trailers alone. It's just, it doesn't look good. All right. Interesting list. Last year, 2012. Remember 2012?
Barely.
Long, long time ago. Polestar Magazine, which is the concert industry trade magazine, has released their list of the top five money-making tours of 2012. This was interesting to me.
Top five money-making tours.
Yeah.
This has to be those, you know, like the Aerosmiths or the Rolling Stones or some of those people that charged $300 per ticket.
Well, Kevin, you named one of the names in the top five. The Rolling Stones, fifth.
Okay.
No, I'm sorry. My bad. The Rolling Stones, 33rd.
Oh, 33rd.
33rd.
They already did five shows.
But they just played five concerts, and they made $35.5 million.
Wow.
From just playing five concerts. The average ticket price for the Rolling Stones show, $529.
Wow.
That's for a rock concert. They don't have sex with you or anything. They just sing.
That's crazy.
Yeah. They were
33rd. Play at your house, though, for that amount, right?
You have to go to them. 33rd on the list. Fifth on the list of the top five, Lady Gaga was the fifth highest grossing concert tour of last year.
Okay.
Fourth on the list, Coldplay.
All right.
Now take a guess at the top three.
Don't tell me Bieber.
Take it. No, he's not even in the top five.
He's not?
Number three, I think, will surprise you.
Number three will surprise you.
Pink. In this day and age, you're close. You're close with what you said.
Really?
Yeah,
it's
he
a
is.
Woman, is
the
what
color?
He's saying.
No, no, but it does involve pink.
It involves pink.
Yes, the word pink plays a role in this person's career.
Pink Floyd.
Yes, Roger Waters of Pink Floyd.
Wow, great.
With
Kevin.
His The Wall tour, made $186 million on his
Isn't
tour.
That unbelievable.
Roger Waters in this day and age, top three. He's number three. How about number two? Any guesses? Another it would be considered he still makes current music, but
how about Bruce Springsteen?
Springsteen, yeah, he's number two.
Oh, okay.
Springsteen, E Street Band, pulled in $210 million in ticket sales at number two. Any guess as to number one? Who made $296 million on tour? Number one.
Chumbawamba?
Number one tour of 2012. Chumbawamba, not in the top five this year.
Drum roll again, please. I don't know.
No one's going to guess.
Tell us.
Bean?
Madonna.
Very good guess.
Really?
Madonna was the number one touring act of 2012.
I didn't know if she had enough dates. I didn't know how widely she toured last year.
She always has enough dates. You know what I'm saying? Hard to believe. Madonna. Still pulling in those kind of numbers in the 21st century.
Because she's well past her best hit-making days.
Yes, no who's question. Interested in that?
But she can still sing those songs, I guess.
Yeah. And she flashes nostalgia. Her ass.
She does. She does write things on her ass and then show the audience.
It does happen.
This is what I do in Hollywood Babylon. I always write something on my ass and show the audience. While we're talking about money, this is Monday. Let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. Texas Chainsaw 3D made $23 million. Django Unchained made another $20 million. Puts its total gross in 2 weeks, over $106 million. The Hobbit was third, Les Mis and Parental Guidance at number five. Then Jack Reach Around was sixth. I'm sorry, Jack Reacher.
Reacher
yes. was sixth. This Is 40 was seventh. Lincoln, The Guilt Trip, and Promised Land was 10th on the list.
Saw that Promised Land.
You saw the Promised Land?
Did you?
You went to see the fracking movie? How was your frack? Did you love the frack out of it? Did you say, what a great fracking movie this is?
I was taken to that movie.
It doesn't sound like something you would choose.
Looking forward to it. It was not very good. Thank you.
You like Krasinski and Damon, I would imagine.
Yeah,
right?
They were fine, but they sure were trying to just buy up some land so they could put in some natural gas. That was
happening. They wanted to do some fracking. they want to frack the hell out of those people.
They really did.
Yep. Charlie Sheen's got a new girlfriend. He still believes in true love after three failed marriages. Us Weekly is reporting that he spent some quality time in Cabo San Lucas, Mexico, with another actress named Georgia Jones.
Bet she's ugly.
Georgia lovely, Jones. Lovely actress named Georgia Jones.
I don't know her.
If you're not familiar with her work, you may want to rent Naughty Nannies.
Oh, really?
All Alone 4 or Nymphetamine. You may want to check out Nymphetamine at your local.
She's a porn star.
She does do a more adult-oriented work than she does children's films.
Wait, Charlie Sheen with a porn star?
Charlie Sheen with a porn star.
That's
I know.
Weird.
Hard to believe. And since we're talking porn, looks like Octomom's career as a porn star did not quite pay off the way she hoped. It was announced this week that Nadia Suleman is back on public assistance.
Yeah.
She's back on welfare. After 5 whole months of independence, she has applied for welfare again. The family of 15 will have to survive on $1,800 a month for food and $1,000 in emergency cash and Medi-Cal benefits.
How did she ever think she was going to pull this off?
I don't know. I feel terrible for her, but
and her kids.
She makes terrible choices.
I feel bad for the kids. I don't care about her.
Yeah, me too.
She went off public assistance in July after doing that XXX video and a few dancing appearances, but apparently her stint in rehab last October ate up most of that cash.
Oh, I didn't know she went to
rehab. Oh, sure, Lisa. Sure she did, because she just keeps making good choices.
Who do you get to care for 14 kids while you're gone?
I forget what her medication of choice was, but she was on, I believe, she had addiction to Xanax and a couple other pain meds, I think. So, yeah. So it's bad enough she had to whore herself out to pay for her kids, but then she takes that money and has to go into rehab with it because she's got substance abuse problems. So she's the whole package right there.
She's got everything.
She's the real deal. Today's celebrity birthdays. David Caruso from CSI Miami. He's 57 years old today. TV personality Katie Couric celebrates her 56th birthday. Nicolas Cage
is 49 years old. More of a 49 protector.
Rex Lee of Entourage plays Lloyd on that show. 44 years old. Jeremy Renner, soon to be seen in the upcoming Hansel and Gretel. Of course, you know him as the Bourne Legacy and Hurt Locker. 42 years old today. Dustin Diamond, Saved by the Bell Screech, turns 36. Lauren Cohen, who plays Maggie on The Walking Dead, is 31 years old. And John Rich of Big and Rich. Sure, some people know them as country singers, but of course, we all remember them for their smash hit, You Have to Fight for Your Right to Party.
Well, your mom busted in, said, what's a noise? Come, mommy, just chilling, since it's a Big and Rich boys.
Yeah, that's what they did.
Yep.
You gotta fight.
This happened.
Starting to spin real fast because of gayness.
And of course, the Beastie Boys did a cover of that and had a small size hit. But when you think of that song, you think of Big and Rich, of course.
The original, right? Still the best.
The Beastie Boys.
You know, Lisa first. Bouncing over here. She put that country music on.
She loves
just
it.
Loses her mind.
I do
it.
Like
you
it.
You can take the girl out of the country, but you can't take the country out of the girl.
Honky talk, my friend.
And you can't take the tree out of the country either.
Okay, careful with this one, Ralph.
People get very upset with you if you do that. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Body is safe to shore.
106.
Though the truth may vary, this
sorry, everyone.
Ship will carry our body safe to shore.
Yeah, that's
what do you got, a plane to catch? What's going on? What's the rush here, dude?
Well, that was same line twice. Sorry, everybody. It's the world famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 11 minutes after 7 o'clock.
Welcome on into a Monday Kevin and Bean Show here on the world-famous K-Rock. Thank you so much for joining us. Here's a fascinating discussion that is going on the Huffington Post. They break it down. They have all sorts of different – they have the HuffPost women, and they have the HuffPost gay, and the HuffPost college. One of their categories, one of their sections on the website is HuffPost divorce. And this is where they talk about all things having to do with divorce. And there's a very spirited conversation going on right now where people are discussing, Kevin, whether too much weight gain is grounds for divorce. Your spouse has gained whatever the number is in your mind. Maybe for some it's 30 pounds. Maybe for some it's 50. Maybe it's 100. I don't know what it is. But they're talking about whether that's a deal breaker or not to stay married. Interesting topic, no?
They talked to 11 couples, and this one couple, Camilla, who's 26, and Ross, who's 32, are in full agreement on the weight gain. She's in the military. She went to Iraq. When she got back, he was flabby.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So he's gained weight, and she said, hey, how about losing some of that weight? Because they both had agreed beforehand that, weight gain is, you know, one of the reasons that would be valid.
Really?
To get divorced.
How much weight gain, though? Because saying somebody is flabby does not say to me that they're out of control and can't
right.
leave the house or something.
I agree with you. It seems to me like if you're going to use weight gain as a reason for divorce, it would have to be 200-300 pounds, right?
I mean, not
25 or 30 pounds.
Yeah, absolutely.
It would have to be a huge amount of...
Unless, well, I mean, there are some people who are just super concerned about their why can't I even think of
appearance? I don't know, but I'm not going to help.
Their appearance and the appearance of their spouse, and I guess if...
Psycho Mike. Mike Catherwood. Love Lines Mike.
If they met at the gym and they do all this stuff together and then one of them just kind of quits...
Just lets go?
I guess I mean, in their... I think that's ridiculous, but I guess I could see in their particular instance.
Well, I do think that here's where it would matter the most, I think, is that people who would gain that much weight, I would imagine, would become unhappy.
If you gain a couple hundred pounds, you have to be miserable.
All right, look, we're not 50 really...
50 pounds.
Well, yeah, 50
I'd
pounds is more realistic. Very few people
pounds.
Very people can gain. Very few people can gain 200 pounds.
Right.
So let's say we're talking about 30 to 50 pounds.
Okay.
That's pretty doable. And you're right. That person would either be really unhappy or super happy because they just wake up every day and eat whatever they want. Could be the happiest person ever.
Happy girl, unhappy.
Or the other way around. In this case, she's in military right. and she comes back and he's been eating chocolate Ho-Hos.
Yeah.
Well, because he didn't have a wife to cook for him like she should have been, by the way. How about a little more time in the kitchen, a little less time over there playing Army? How about that? He's got to live at Taco Bell while she's off screwing around. This is Camilla, 26, Ross, 32, that we're talking about that are profiled in this piece. If you can't be responsible enough to take care of yourself, how are you going to take care of a family, says Camilla. Ross said, we're vain people. At least he admits that. We've talked about it. The only acceptable reason for weight gain is pregnancy. Significant weight gain is grounds for divorce. Now, they don't go on to say what his plan is or what her plan is at a certain point. Like, do you say, okay?
Yeah, or what the limit is.
Yeah, I see that you have violated our agreement before we got married. Now you have X number of weeks to take it off, or we're done, or what happens? Like, I don't know how it unfolds. It seems like you'd make an effort to try to get things back in line before you just walk away.
Doesn't it seem, if they're like a really happy couple, it's hard for me to imagine that this really is, like 30 pounds is really just, that's it, we're done.
I don't know, but they
I agree, by the way.
But they had both of the this particular couple, both of them had discussed it before.
Well, yeah, and you can discuss it, but
he's the guy who gained the weight. He agreed.
But when push comes to shove, really, she's going to be like, all right, you didn't lose
She's
going to
walk away from a husband that she otherwise adores just because he gained a little weight. I agree, Lisa. I mean, look, maybe I've been married too long, but it's very low on the list of my priorities in my marriage, whether how much I weigh or how much my wife weighs. Just not that important. Doesn't matter that much to me because that's not what the basis of our relationship is.
The basis of your relationship is that you're best friends with no benefits, right? If I could just summarize.
We want to take your phone calls, by the way. If you have an opinion on this topic, or more specifically, if you have encountered this in your own relationship, if you've been the guy who's gained the weight or the girl who's gained the weight or your partner has, we want to hear from you at 1-800-520-1067. Let me read a couple of the comments from this HuffPost divorce column on this. Again, 1-800-520-1067. Shannon writes in, not grounds for divorce if you're going by the in sickness and in health vows. In other words, they're saying, look, you made a commitment to be married. It shouldn't matter whether somebody gains weight or not. That's not part of that's
maybe
not part
change
of the
vows then.
Maybe so. Let me see. Daniel writes in, of course not. Weight gain doesn't happen overnight. If your spouse is unhealthy, what did you do to help or hurt them? So it sounds to me like they're putting the pressure on the person who didn't gain the weight.
Yeah, like it's their fault.
Anthony writes in, yes, it is. You can't be expected to love someone who doesn't love themselves if they've gained that much weight. That's what's going on. Rita writes in, only if you're a serious a-hole. So she's made up her mind. Clearly, Rita's fat. I think we've all established. Susan, if you truly love someone, the amount they weigh should only be a factor if it's affecting their health and you are concerned. Now, that's interesting. In other words, In other words, what Susan is saying is if the person is a little flabby, which is kind of what it sounds like in the people that we talked about at the start here, if the person is just a little flabby, that's not really affecting their health. That's not something to be concerned about.
Right.
If it's anything more than that, maybe that's when you step in and it becomes a more serious
thing. Well, that is a really good point because it really does affect your health, especially as you get older.
All right, so you've encountered this in your relationship, or you've had best friends or whatever, but mostly you've encountered this in your relationship. How have you dealt with it? Has it broken you up?
Do you guys have a deal?
Are you too fat for marriage? 1-800-520-1067.
This is beyond cosmetics. It's not an argument about whether we're all too preoccupied with being thin and let's not discriminate against big people.
Uh-huh.
We've heard it before. It's not the outer body, but what's on the inside that counts.
Right.
Indeed. But what with our guests today, there's too much on the inside.
Yeah.
And it's a serious health problem, perhaps life itself hanging in the balance. And surely part of it is genetic. Sadly, some of us can move to a larger size just by glancing at a dessert.
All right, thank you.
But to hear the stories, and this is true in most cases of obesity, there's an awful lot of eating going on here.
Really?
Indeed, you don't get to be 600, 800, or even 1,000 pounds by only eating salads.
Here's some chocolate, Fat Joe.
Bean thinks that if you gain a pound, you should get divorced.
He's the worst.
And that's like that.
Crazy to me.
You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock. The topic is just that, though. If your partner gains too much weight, is that grounds for divorce? That's the discussion on the table here at 1-800-520-1067. We're going to go to John here on line 3 to get us going. First, though, from the Kevin and Bean Facebook page, Stacy says, yes, it is grounds for divorce. I didn't marry a fatty to start with. Rebecca counters with no. People fluctuate their weight. It happens. So as you can see, there's quite a divided opinion here.
I think, yeah, but nobody's putting numbers on them. Everybody should put a number on what they're talking about. When you say gain weight, do you mean 10 pounds? Do you mean 30 pounds? Do you mean 70 pounds? I mean, yeah. It makes a big difference if it's 70 or 10.
John, you put a number on it.
Oh, yeah. Hey, Kevin, being Haley from A. So I'm married, right? And I think we're a pretty good-looking couple, me and my wife. So, you know, she just had a baby. So, I give it to her. She gets a few pounds, but she still looks great.
Uh-huh.
But I think another, 50 pounds, I think that's pushing the envelope. So I think that's a grand total because she gained like 30 pounds after the baby. But like I said, she still looks good, but not 200-300. That's insane. No, well, about 80 pounds. Oh, that's kind of, hey, you know.
So you're saying 75 or 80.
That's going to be some flags going up. You
I
know?
Got you.
Yeah, and I think there are exceptions made for people who gain weight when they're pregnant, too. I think that's not what we're talking
not
about
for John,
here either.
By the way. Part of that 80 pounds was the 30 from the kid.
No. That's what I'm saying. Like, after she had the baby, at the end, you know, she gained 30 pounds. She stayed with 30 pounds, you know, from before she got pregnant. So
no, you give them a week after they had the kid.
Hey,
I think that's accurate.
Look at Megan Fox. You guys seen Megan Fox lately? She just had a baby. Isn't she the standard?
Hey, well, when you got personal trainers like that, hey.
Yeah, no kidding.
Anything's impossible, right?
All right. Thank you for the call. Appreciate that.
Thank you, John.
Let's try Jamie, by the way, who has had this discussion and has made it work in a long, successful marriage. Jamie, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. Thank you for calling.
Good morning. Yes, I'll be celebrating my 30th wedding anniversary.
Wow.
And one of the comments, yeah, my high school sweetheart. And one of the comments he made right before we got married was, I'll love you if you gain weight, but I won't have anything to do with you.
Oh, nice.
What does that mean?
But that's when you got married and he was young and dumb.
Right.
I mean,
right.
Do you really think he holds to that now?
I won't have anything to do with you physically, you mean?
Yes. And I guess in a sexual way more.
Right.
More the attraction, I think it definitely affects. And you're right. We were young. I was 18. He was 21. So it was a immature comment to make at that point, but he's had family members that were overweight,
uh-huh.
And he has to think about that, and I appreciate it. And
what do you think? Kevin asked for a number. What do you think the number was over which he would not allow you to gain weight?
I would say I gained about 45 pounds with my first child, and I think about 50. I think
about 50.
Because
and how about him? Do you have the same standards for him?
Absolutely. As far as I'm a dietitian, so I'm more concerned about his health. than I am.
That's what people say to make themselves feel better.
No, it's not that I don't want to look at you. It's that I'm worried you don't feel good.
Right. I'm worried about you.
All right, Jamie, thank you very much for the call, my dear. We appreciate it. George
sounds
right.
Fat.
Thank you.
George writes in on the Kevin and Mead Facebook page, what the F is wrong with you people? Marriage is not a joke. You married that person through sickness and health. So it sounds like George, at least on paper, is saying he doesn't care how much his wife gains. Ashley writes in, depends on how fat we are talking. I would divorce myself if I got too fat, and I'd give my husband time to lose it, or I'd be out because fat people are a turnoff. How about that?
All right, let's try and get through some of these calls because this is fascinating. People who have set numbers and have moved on. Jonathan, hi.
Oh, hi. Yeah, my mom and dad, about 7 years ago when I was 15, divorced because I guess my mom gained like over 80 pounds or something. Mm-hmm. My dad would always tell me, you know, she's too fat or whatever. And I'm like, wow.
And did you sense, did you overhear any kind of conversations where it was a slow process by which he gave her time to try to lose that weight and she just wasn't interested in losing it? Or as soon as the scale hit 80, was he out the door?
Like, I would always hear them talk about it, like, you know, you need to lose weight, like, I'm concerned about your health, and like...
Concerned about your health.
I know, that's what I said. then, like, a year later, he finally just gave up and left. Like,
how about that? And you sense that that really was the primary reason. It wasn't other problems in the relationship. It was just he didn't want to be married to a fat woman.
Yeah, pretty much.
Wow. Did he go out and get himself a young, thin girl?
No, he actually hasn't gotten anyone after.
So. Oh, what a bummer. Yeah. All right. Thank you, Jonathan.
Mob's revenge, right? Let's take one more. Let's talk to Shad. Shad is on line 6. He has also lived through it. Hey, Shad, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. You're the final word here.
No, thank you. Well, I just wanted to tell you, I've been with my wife for about 10 years. And when I met her, she was already on the heavy side, already at about 180. Mm-hmm. And she gained, and over the course of about 4 or 5 years, she gained about, oh, it was 160 pounds.
Wow, so she gained another whole her.
Yeah.
What's
yeah,
going on with her, and, Shad?
Wow.
Well, you know what? We had decent jobs and we were going out to eat quite a bit and, you know, it was just an unhealthy lifestyle.
Mm-hmm. Did you split up with her?
And, you know, I didn't do too bad myself because I tended to be very, fairly active. But, you know what, the thing is, if you love someone, you just, you persevere and, see
but
what
if they're fat?
The road and, what if they're fat?
What if they're fat?
But wait, look, I'm no mathematician here.
Put them on the end of a barbell and lift them. I don't know.
But are we talking about 340 pounds she weighs now?
No, actually, believe it or not, she weighed 360 pounds.
Mm-hmm. Hey, buddy, you are fat.
And did you guys stay together?
Yes, we stayed together because I loved her. Now, it did put a cramp on the sex life. It was a little difficult.
Well, you can't find things.
You know what? But the thing is, when you persevere, you be surprised what comes down the road. She eventually got gastric bypass surgery.
Okay.
And lost 180 pounds. And so now she's actually thinner than when I met her.
Thank God, or you wouldn't be with her, right?
No, of course I would be with her.
Oh, okay. I misunderstood.
Good man, Chad.
The thing is, when you find the partner that'll take your crap for whatever you do, you just kind of stick with it.
Yeah.
And you know what? This
Guys
is so
hard
interesting.
To live with.
Shad, thank you very much for the call. We appreciate this. Just like we've talked about in the past, Kevin, we've had the discussion about whether an affair should break up a relationship. It depends on a lot of other factors, like how strong the relationship is, how strong the foundation is. Sounds like that may also be the case with how great the relationship is with the person that gains the weight, too.
But she gained 160 pounds.
That's a lot. Yeah. I'm not saying it's not a lot.
She was up to 360.
I'm not saying you don't notice, but thank you, Shad. I'm glad you called. He loves this woman. Season 4 of Justified on your TV tonight. I want to say tonight. Yeah, I think it's tonight. Tomorrow night, Timothy Oliphant joins us just after the top of the hour, and our friend Psycho Mike will be here with the Psycho Body just in time for the new year. First, though, Andrew Siciliano from the NFL Network, and sometimes during the season, DirecTV's Red Zone. Hey, Andrew, how are you, my friend? Happy New Year.
Hey, guys. Happy New Year to you.
Got a lot of ground to cover with the wild card weekend behind us in the NFL. I guess the sad thing is that you start to wrap up some of the storylines that we've enjoyed so much all season. For instance, it's kind of sad to say goodbye to RG3 and Andrew Luck, right?
Yeah, I mean, they were both really good stories yesterday. Andrew Luck, it's you cannot say enough how that guy, and not just him, they turned over two-thirds of the roster. They had 30-some new guys, but that guy with Chuck Pagano and his amazing story and Bruce Arians taking over for Chuck Pagano and he had leukemia and And what they did, they were 2-14. They were on the clock picking first in April. And they made the playoffs. They fought hard in the playoffs. They have an impressive future. It's one thing to go worst to first in baseball. It's another thing to go worst to first in the NFL and actually be a legitimate team.
Yeah.
They didn't win the Super Bowl, but they impressed a lot of people.
Yeah, and you can't be sad about having that first year as a rookie. And the same thing goes for the Redskins, too. Look, they knew that they were a building team. The Redskins hadn't been to the playoffs since 1999. They made it to the playoffs behind RG3, and they look like they're going to be a good team for years to come now, right?
Hey, look, RG3, it is hard really to describe the phenomenon that is RG3, other than to say this. The coverage and the hype is so overwhelming that there's hardly any backlash yet because people love the guy. I mean, just listen to him on the podium yesterday after the game. And there's some legitimate questions about that game. You can legitimately ask, and our three Hall of Famers at NFL Network on Game Day Final last night, Marshall and Deion and Michael Irvin, all said that he should have been in there, that Mike Shanahan made the right call to keep him in there, even though the guy could barely walk. But you're watching that game, being I know you are as a Seahawks fan, saying, wait, well, why is this guy still in there? He cannot move.
Kevin and I were just having this discussion off the air. Look, there's no way if the coach had pulled him and brought in the backup and lost the game, he would have been skinned alive.
Exactly. You can't win.
You can't win, exactly.
But RG3 had, like, one leg was barely hanging on. I mean, it was barely even attached at the knee,
it was like
right?
the Karate Kid. It was like that last fight in the Karate Kid. He could barely stand, and they put the poor guy in there to throw.
It was Daniel LaRussa. And much like Ralph Macchio, RG3, we'll find out later, was actually 48 years old.
It wasn't the battle of the rookie quarterbacks that we wanted to see because Russell Wilson was in there at full strength. So it does take away a little bit of the fun of that victory because we beat a Seahawks team with a hurt quarterback. But still, Seahawks played great. Russell had a great game too, right?
Let me tell you something. No one wants to play the Seahawks. They run the ball. Russell Wilson makes very few, if any, mistakes. They have a great defense. They've won six in a row. And maybe I'm overstating it a bit when I say no one wants to play them. Look, Atlanta is the number one seed, and Atlanta this week will be more than happy after sitting at home for a week to welcome the Seahawks into town. And here's what the Seahawks have to do. They flew out of Washington last night after that game. They're going all the way back to Seattle. They have to turn back around and fly to Atlanta. And then that is, you know, that's what you have to do when you play in Seattle. They have always, every single year, they have the most air miles of any team in the National Football League.
Does that make a bigger difference than most of us think?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely it does. Well, I mean, there's that amazing stat. It's like the Raiders haven't won a game. Now, the Raiders are just bad. But the Raiders haven't won a game at 1 o'clock Eastern time in an East Coast city in like 6 years.
Right.
Wow. That is really saying something. While we're talking about quarterbacks, let's talk about how sad it was for the Minnesota Vikings to not be able to show up with Christian Ponder this weekend. That just, I mean, they had no hope from the get-go with their backup, right?
No, and here's the funny thing about it as well, is that for most of the season, people have been saying Christian Ponder is holding the Vikings back. He's in his second season, and unlike the rookies that we saw this year, he hasn't really wowed anybody. There's this amazing stat that Adrian Peterson was averaging more yards per rush than Ponder was per attempt, which is almost impossible to do.
Yeah.
And then when you don't have him and he couldn't play, elbow flared up, he couldn't suit up Saturday night, you realize how badly you needed him. Because the quarterback that you brought in, Joe Webb's a nice guy, but he hadn't thrown a pass all year, and he's more of a runner than a passer, and it was just ugly. I mean, you watched the first quarter of that game. The Vikings actually came out in the first drive and moved down the field. But after watching the first quarter and a half, you realize this game is over.
All right, I felt like they could have put any of us in, and it would have been the same outcome.
Yeah, exactly. And Green Bay is the team, maybe more than the Seahawks, that maybe no one wants to play right now because they look scary.
They do. All right, so there were two games Saturday, two games Sunday. What does this schedule look like for this weekend?
All right, most people think divisional weekend, which is this coming weekend, is the best weekend. And again, it's two games Saturday and two games Sunday. The Packers, because they won on Saturday, now go to San Francisco on Saturday.
Great game. Great game.
Which will be awesome. I mean, just absolutely awesome. And the Texans, because they won on Saturday, now go to New England. That's the earlier of the two games on Saturday. Then on Sunday, it is the Seahawks at the Falcons.
Uh-huh.
That's one of them. And then you have the Ravens at the Broncos. So you have Baltimore against Peyton Manning. Denver's the number one seed. Denver is the team to be clearly now in the AFC. Not New England, not anyone else. It is Denver. It is Peyton Manning at home. Because to get to New Orleans, you have to go to Denver and beat Peyton Manning.
Right.
I love these Saturday games, too. And last weekend, you know, this past Saturday and this coming Saturday, the only time we'll see them all year, right?
Yeah, that's it. Another, we had one Saturday game, week 17. Week 16? Week 16. One Saturday game, that's it.
Well, I love it. It's so great to have them spread out a little bit. You get the whole weekend on the couch instead of just Sunday. So, Andrew, with no red zone, what are we going to get from you? Are you going to be on every afternoon on the NFL Network, though?
That is correct, NFL Network. I actually enjoyed my time on the couch. Thanks to everyone who tweeted saying we missed you on Sunday. I was sitting in Tahoe doing some skiing and having a beer and putting my feet up and enjoying football like a real fan.
Nice.
Fantastic. So glad we got a chance to talk to you. We'll do it again next week, man. Thank you.
All right.
Timothy Oliphant from Justified joins us after the top of the hour. Ralph Garman from Joe Schmo, also debuting tomorrow night with its new season,
That's
joins us right now with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on, man?
That would be 10 p.m. Tuesday nights on Spike TV.
Eastern? Pacific?
It is, well, here on the West Coast, Spike just has the one feed. They don't have an East Coast and West Coast feed.
Right.
So it would be, you can see 7 o'clock. You can see the first episode tomorrow night.
Fantastic.
Here in the West Coast, and it's 10 o'clock on the East Coast, 9 p.m. Central, and then throughout the week, I'm sure they'll be rerunning it as well, but tune in tomorrow night and see me in a beard.
Yes.
That's the best I can say about it, really. Mm-hmm. Just, I rock an amazing beard.
You know how to sell a show.
I can crush a beard. That's all we know. It is Monday. That means we look at the top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. I guess after a Christmas holiday of peace on earth and goodwill towards men and love and brotherhood. America was just in the mood for a guy with a chainsaw just cutting into hot chicks. That's what they wanted. Enough of that peace and love crap. Let me see broads being murdered with a chainsaw with a guy with a leather face. Chainsaw, Texas Chainsaw 3D, made $23 million this weekend, number one at the box office. Django Unchained made $20 million. The Hobbit came in at $17.5 million. That was good enough to make it number three this week. Les Miserables, $16 million. That puts it over $104 million in 2 weeks. Number four on the list, Parental Guidance was fifth. And Jack Reacher at number six, This Is 40, was number seven. Lincoln, The Guilt Trip, and Promised Land rounding out the top ten at the box office this weekend. Jessica Simpson wants her fiancé to keep his eyes off her sister. Star Magazine reports that once again pregnant Jessica caught Eric Johnson, her fiancé, checking out Ashley in her tiny bikini while they were all on vacation in Hawaii.
I don't think Jessica has anything to worry about from Ashley, by the way. Do you?
Have you seen pictures of her recently? She looks like a skeleton.
Yeah.
Ashley,
that's what
does?
I'm saying.
Yeah.
Jessica looks good.
Not Jessica. We know that much. Eric reportedly told her back if she spent more time taking care of their daughter Maxwell instead of him having to do all the work, he wouldn't be spending so much time with her sister because they are raising their children together. Yeah, good times. Where was Eric Johnson during that conversation? His weight gain.
Yeah, no kidding.
Cause for divorce. I think Jessica Simpson thinks if she just stays pregnant, no one will ever call her on her weight gain.
Probably, yeah.
Because, you know, that's the best excuse in the world.
Sure.
For two, right? Justin Bieber in the news. You know, he was supposedly smoking pot. They had those pictures of him smoking pot.
First thing he's ever done that Kevin approved of, by the way.
That's right.
Yeah. Makes you think there's hope for the kid, really, when you see him smoking a joint, if indeed that's what that is. Looks like one of those BS clove cigarettes or something to me as I looked at those photos. But he is also in the news for doing something nice. There was a little girl who has cancer who said that Bieber was her favorite singer. 7-year-old Millie Flam has leukemia, and she couldn't go to his concert Saturday night, in Salt Lake City. So he caught wind of that and showed up at the Primary Children's Medical Center there in town and paid her a visit. Showed up in her room. As you can imagine, 7-year-old Millie was over the moon. He hung out for a while, sang to her, gave her a guitar pick, and then kissed her goodbye. With tongue, which I think was really inappropriate. Yeah, it was really out of line. Just he was doing so well into that last moment.
And then he'd put a pillow on her face and just ended her show.
Oh, come on! Jeez!
Give her a guitar pick.
Well, he's known for his
not exactly
shredding.
Known
he's known for shredding, Kevin. You know that. Nobody get too excited. There were rumors over the weekend that NBC was considering reviving Twin Peaks.
Yeah!
Cult TV series by David Lynch, of course, from the early 1990s.
No truth to those rumors, at least according to Twin Peaks creators Mark Frost and David Lynch. They've denied they're involved in any such project, so if they're going to be doing it, they're going to do it without the benefit or the blessings of those two guys. But the rumors were still on the internet today as I looked around. People saying it's coming back. I don't know. I hope not.
I think that's wishful thinking, I think.
I hope not. It's not wishful thinking on my part. There's no way they could improve on it.
Yeah, that was classic.
Even Frost and Lynch couldn't sustain it for more than two seasons, so not a great idea. And since we're talking about television, apparently Buckwild did pretty well for itself in its debut.
LaQuisha's covering that for us
every week. I heard she's not covering that anymore. I heard she's backed out of that
deal. Oh, no, she said she's fine with it. She loves it.
It was pulling in around 2.5 million viewers the first episode. Now, the network was hoping it would grab Jersey Shore-type numbers. But keep in mind, it got more viewers than Jersey Shore did in its premiere in 2009.
Yeah, Jersey Shore grew.
Yeah, only got 1.8 million viewers when it first debuted, so 2.5 isn't too shabby at all. In fact, it did better than the spinoff with Snooki and JWoww, which only pulled in 2.4 million viewers. So no one could be too unhappy with Buckwild's numbers over there at MTV.
I haven't seen Buckwild, but I hate everything about it.
Well, you're not wrong for making that decision. And good news for us Bond fans, the Academy Awards this year is going to have a special tribute to 007, 50 years of James Bond. They're going to do a giant salute to it during the course of the award show. The producers of the Academy Awards TV show say it's the longest-running motion picture franchise in history, a beloved global phenomenon and deserving of their praise. Now, it's odd that Bond is being honored by Oscar because the 23 films, they've never had a Best Picture winner among them and never had a lot of acclaim from the Oscars or any other critics. But still, it's made a lot of money, and Hollywood loves money. Skyfall, by the way, which has pulled in more than $1 billion worldwide.
Wow. And was one of the best movies of 2012, too, by the way.
Well, they're saying this could break the streak for Bond. This could actually be the first James Bond movie to be nominated for Best Picture. So
I'm so frustrated every year with the bias in the Academy toward those kinds of movies. Just because something is a quote-unquote summer blockbuster type movie doesn't mean it can't be great filmmaking.
Right.
All right. Calm down.
Same thing with the Batman movie. Same thing with the Avengers movie.
Yeah. Okay, Tiger. It's okay.
I'm just saying.
Every year there's a lot of really good movies.
Yeah.
So it's not like the ones that they put in the top five are crap and they're leaving out good movies that made a lot of money.
I agree, but you thought The Avengers was the best movie of last year, right?
No.
Haven't I heard you say that?
No. It was the best comic book movie, my top three comic book movies of all time.
Was it top five? I mean, should it have been nominated?
Well, we haven't seen the nominations yet.
I know.
The Academy Awards have not yet.
Should they
nominate The Avengers?
Yeah. Because I'd say, yeah.
I think there are other films out there that perhaps signify achievements in motion pictures more so than The Avengers. Certainly a well-crafted movie, certainly a good time at the movie theater. But I think there are other films out there maybe more.
Bucky Larson comes to mind.
Bucky Larson, sure, that's for one. Tyler Perry's Medea as a Cop. That one? That was real cool.
Right. That was what it was called, right.
Yeah, yes. Medea as a Cop. Today's celebrity birthdays, January 7th, Lauren Cohen, who is Maggie on The Walking Dead, is 31 years old today. Dustin Diamond, Screech from Saved by the Bell, turns 36.
And Saved by the Smell. Let's not discount his porn career, too.
Forgot his sex tape. Jeremy Renner, speaking of the Avengers, of course, was Hawkeye in that film, The Hurt Locker, The Bourne Legacy, soon to be seen as Hansel in Hansel and Gretel. This isn't your dad's Hansel and Gretel.
No, it isn't. Gretel is something.
42 years old, Rex Lee from Entourage plays Lloyd on that show. Played Lloyd. Will be, I guess, in the big motion picture version of that franchise. 44 years old today. Nicolas Cage is 49. Katie Couric turns 56. And CSI Miami's David Caruso turns 57 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Welcome to the new year here on the Kevin and Bean Show, the first Psycho Body of 2013. Our friend Mike Catherwood will be in here to tell you how to keep those New Year's resolutions about losing weight. That's on the way. First, though, how about tomorrow night on FX? How about Justified returning for season 4, star of the show, Timothy Olyphant, joins us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Tim. Welcome, sir.
What's up, fellas?
Great to talk to you. I was thinking about you last night. I was catching up on my American Horror Stories, and I was thinking this FX channel with Sons of Anarchy and Horror Stories and Archer and all the great shows, man, it gets bigger every year, and that can be nothing but great news for Justified.
I like the way you're thinking, and I appreciate you thinking of me, and thanks for taking a second to say hello to.
Sure.
Well, of course. What is it about you think that gets you playing an officer of the law on so many TV shows and so many movies? Why are you the man?
It hadn't occurred to me to just now. Why am I the man?
Why are you the man?
I asked that question at the house.
Mm-hmm.
You know, why do I have to be the guy?
Sure.
You're so often a cop.
To be about dog walking and things like that. Like, why do I got to walk the goddamn dogs? Why do I got to be that guy? And I think the answer is the same. I'm in like my 40s and I'm in show business. If you have any kind of career, you're going to end up being the man after a while.
Sure.
Yeah, I think that's the answer I'm going with.
I can
with.
See that. Now, I saw you on, I think it was Ellen, I don't remember which talk show, but I saw you talking about your kids and how you are not cool to them.
You know, I'll be honest with you, I'm not that cool to just about anyone I know. I mean, I like to joke it's just my kids who haven't figured it out, but I have a feeling most of the people around me haven't.
You are, of course, U.S. Marshal Raylan Givens, a guy who is so in love with wearing this badge and the hat, by the way, that you basically lose everything in your personal life. Why is it that he's so committed to being an officer of the law to the great personal expense of himself?
Forgive me, but the answer right now is I don't know. I mean, he likes his job. Every now and then he gets to shoot someone.
What more could you ask for?
I mean, you know. It's a fantasy job, if you ask me.
True. And I would imagine for an actor, too, I imagine that's super fun to show up to work and be able to run around with a gun like you're 6 years old again.
Well, Elmore Leonard's cool, too. And you know, we're doing our best to kind of, you know, carry the ball for him. And it's fun to pretend to be that cool.
Of course. Now, tell me about our friend Patton Oswalt. I understand he joins the show starting tomorrow. Tell me.
Good stuff.
Because I know he's a crazy fan of the show, and I just wonder if that's Patton's M.O., is he just weasels his way into all the shows he likes.
I don't know how he got involved. You know, honestly, we started talking about him a year or so ago. We'd like, wouldn't it be fun to get something, do something with Patton? And I don't know who first initiated that conversation, but we had been talking about it for a while. And so we met a guy in Harlan County who the character's loosely based on. We'll get sued for that later. And it's just tremendously fun working with him. The guy's so good, and he plays it. You know, we went to the premiere the other night, and, God, it just really played so well. And he's playing it so serious, and I couldn't get through those scenes with a straight face.
Yeah, one of the funniest people we know.
Yeah, no, I went and saw him the other night. We left. We had our premiere on Saturday night, and then we had a little party. I spent about 15 minutes there and then snuck out to go see Patton perform at the Largo. That boy's just good at what he does.
Yes, he is.
I just think it's hilarious that he's playing this straight character, but you can't look at him without cracking up because he's just so funny.
Well, when you see it, I mean, it's twisted funny. It's a little disturbing funny. You know, he comes from the school of Barney Fife. You know, it's somewhere in there. He plays a constable who, you know, it's a real gig, and you're sort of, you don't get a ton of respect, but he wants so desperately to be a big cop, big time cop, and it's fun to see Raylan and him hanging out together.
This is the voice of Timothy Olyphant here on the Kevin and Bean Show. In our remaining moments, we're talking about Justified season 4 premiering tomorrow night on FX. I want to ask you this too, because you're a behind the scenes guy on the show too, right? You are one of the producers, right, Timothy?
I am technically, yeah.
Okay, so when they're going to kill off a major character like last year with Margot's character,
spoiler alert!
Last year, Kevin, and of course she won the Emmy, brought a lot of acclaim to the show.
I appreciate you caring, though, Kevin. You know what I mean? They catch up. You know, people will get their entertainment different ways.
That's what I'm saying.
You know what I mean? The DVD people, they just got screwed. But we'll move on.
I apologize in advance.
Even if you know it's coming, it's a great scene.
It is. But my question to you is, as a producer, does something like that make you nervous when they come to you and they go, this is one of the most popular characters on your show, and it services the story, but we're going to kill her? Is that the type of thing that your ears...
I appreciate you giving me that benefit of the thinking that way, as opposed to, this character's so popular, we need to get rid of her.
Ah. Is that the real thinking?
Check the poster, buddy. Come on. Let's get this even. This is not an even fight. We need to lose her. I don't know how Walt Goggins has stayed on the show as long as he has.
Oh, he's so good, too.
Exactly my point.
Yeah.
Exactly. So, in other words, if somebody is looking at somebody else on the screen that's not your character, as a producer, you have them snuffed out.
Watch the show, and anyone who really pops. know that there they're going to be dead soon.
All right. Well, that's bad news for Patton because it sounds like you like him, so that means he's a limited appearance only.
You see my point.
Exactly.
You see my point.
FX is the channel. Justified is the show. Returning for season 4 tomorrow night at 10. Check it out. Timothy, so glad we had you on, man. Thank you for the time,
sir. I appreciate
you
guys having me. You guys have a good morning.
Thank you, man. Bye.
Bye.
Busted and said, what's that
noise? Same song. Same song.
No Big and Rich.
Such a better version.
Just jealous, it's a Big and Rich boy.
Always, don't. Every time I heard the Beastie Boys song, I thought to myself, that needs banjo.
Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show here on a Monday. Ladies and gentlemen, our old friend Mike Catherwood, the Loveline lover boy, joins us in studio right now.
Yeah.
First of all, Happy New Year, Mike. Second of all, congratulations, newlywed Mike Catherwood. How was the wedding? How was the honeymoon in Paris? How are you?
Oh, the wedding was great, Bean. You should have been there.
None of you were there.
Oh, that's right.
None of us were invited, remember, Kevin?
That's right.
Nobody in this building. How was it?
Was it awesome?
It was awesome. Yeah. It sounds so cheesy, but you know, you have a vision of how your honeymoon and wedding can be, and but you always tell yourself, well, they're not going to actually be that good. That's how it is on movies and stuff. And it ended up being like that amazing, so I was just so happy. And
you got two different girls to marry you in one lifetime. You did.
Yeah, I know.
What's up with that?
I know. Both attractive.
Yes.
Seriously.
Hey, hot chicks with low self-esteem.
And one of them's rich. The current one.
How long did your first marriage last, Mike? I know this isn't why you're here, but I'm just curious.
Like a little over 3 years.
And how long do you think this one's going to last?
A lifetime, brother.
Yeah, we all think that, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's what you hope for. If anything, the only thing that could limit my marriage to Bianca would be me and my eccentricities and
which
personality.
Is a pretty big problem.
Yeah, it's a pretty big issue.
Yeah.
Well, we got our fingers crossed. Good luck to you, buddy.
Thank you, man.
About that. The reason Mike is here, we invited him to come in for the second week of the New Year is because everybody makes the same New Year's resolution, almost everybody, that they're going to either get in better shape or they're going to lose weight.
Yeah.
Those are the two that are at the top of everybody's list. And it's apparently, I'm being told, not that easy to do either.
In my neighborhood, there are people walking everywhere every day.
Until about like March 3rd.
Yeah. Not even that long. They just roll in your window and go, stop it!
Yeah.
You're going to stop within a week anyway.
Yeah, I mean, so, look at Beer Mug. I'm staring at Beer Mug in the back of the room, as Bean says. Everybody's resolution is to get in shape and lose some weight. I'm
not
just staring at Beer Mug.
Yeah. Not
Beer Mug has gained like 40 pounds in the last 3 months. It's insane. So we're going to be taking your telephone calls for the Psycho Body like we do at 1-800-520-1067. Mike, what are the parameters of the calls we're going to be looking for?
Well, I mean, anything that you want to talk about that might help you get into the shape you want to get in 2013. Because like you said, I think everybody around January 1st makes that commitment to look a little bit better or feel better.
Until January 2nd.
the gym's the same way as your neighborhood. It's like the first couple of weeks of January is just packed with people you've never seen before. And then tapers off. But you know, you call in with dietary questions, exercise questions that you have that are, you know, maybe confusing you. But just to understand the kind of major tenet that I have when I give people advice about things is have some patience and have realistic expectations of what you can and can't do.
Tell me about that, because what's the mistake that people are making for the most part?
They try to look like Mike, and you just can't.
No, that's not true. anyone can look like me, but understand that I've been years and years and years of effort to, you know, do anything that I've done with my physique. What, you know, 5-6 years ago when you guys first met me and I was 40 pounds heavier, a lot more muscular, it takes a lot of time and effort to do that. And now when I'm in much better, and I'm much more concerned with like my physical output, it takes a lot of time and effort to do that too.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't just like, a lot of calls we get either here when we do the Psycho Body segment, or if I get emails, or if people call me on Loveline. They want to know, how can I get ready for my wedding in 4 weeks?
Yes.
I'm 75 pounds overweight. Uh-huh. How can I look good? And that's just not the way. And that's not a fault of anybody else out there. It's because you've been lied to so much by fitness-based TV shows and magazines and stuff that want to sell you the quick fix. And that's just not reality.
People don't take my advice. If you're getting married, fatten up.
Yeah.
Really put on the weight. And then you put the pictures out, and for the rest of your life, people go, you look great.
That's not bad advice, by the way.
That's good advice, actually. And by the way, Kevin, you should add from personal experience, also grow a mustache. Right? Because that way, it looks terrible, but the rest of your life, you don't have that mustache, and people are amazed at how good you look.
Yeah.
We're going to take your calls, 1-800-520-1067. Let me just go back and focus just briefly on one thing you said, Mike. The word patience, I think, is what needs to come into play here, because our experience has been in talking to our listeners that they have a New Year's resolution, and if they blow it in the first week, they just give up. They just, if I can't
one
do
misstep.
It.
Yeah.
One misstep, and then they're out. And the point is that it's a long haul. It's a long game. It's not something you just either win or lose in the first few days, right?
Right. And I think that's the number one reason, and this is just speculation, but for me, from what I see with people, that's the number one reason why people, by and large, don't have the body they want, is not because it's so difficult. It's because even 10 pounds can seem insurmountable when you understand that it's going to take 8 to 12 weeks as opposed to 8 to 12 days.
Sure.
Once you go 4 or 5 days of dieting really well and exercising, and then you fall off for a weekend and you have a couple trips through the Taco Bell drive-thru, you think like, oh, I might as well just give up because this is, I'm never going to succeed.
Right. That's what they should do, right?
Exactly. but the reality is, if you want to have some success, it's going to be long-term. It's going to be prolonged effort, and you just got to keep your eye on the light at the end of the tunnel, you know, because it's not
necessary.
What if you're not in a tunnel? What if you're just out on the road?
Oh,
what if the body that I want is Eva Longoria's? Can you help me get that one?
Yeah. I mean, we can take a lot of chloroform and maybe a big trunk, but I drive
he's
a Cadillac.
Got all that. Oh, okay. Mike Catherwood is here. Your call's next. 1-800-520-1067 on the Psycho Body right after this on K-Rock.
Don't just get fit, get psycho. Don't just get strong, get psycho. Don't just get big, get psycho. It's the Psycho Body with your host, Psycho Mike. Are you with me? I'm with you.
Mike Catherwood in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show, the first Psycho Body of the new year. Mike, is there some sort of a disclaimer or something we should be giving here before we hear you give advice to the callers?
Mike is not a doctor. Please seek other advice from anyone else other than Mike.
The disclaimer I'll give you is that when it comes to losing weight or changing your physique, don't ever listen to anybody else except me.
Oh, I see. Okay. Yeah. All right.
Let's talk to Patrick. He'll get us going here on line 6. Taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Patrick, thank you for calling. You're on with Mike.
Hey, guys. I used to be like 250, 260 pounds, and I was like freshman year of high school.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I lost the weight pretty quickly. I got down to about 200. And ever since then, you know, this was like 10 years ago, ever since then I've had this kangaroo pouch that I can't get rid of no matter how much workout I do, how good of diet I stay on.
Tase yourself. I think that works.
What was that?
Tase yourself, right, Mike?
But you got down to 200. How tall are you?
I'm about 6'3", and right now I'm down like 190.
Okay, so... you have to understand that biologically, it's actually your body protecting against itself for survival purposes. That's where it's hardest for men to lose weight. And you haven't lost all the weight, quote unquote. You still have to keep going. And it's incredibly frustrating for women to lose weight from their navel to their kneecaps. And it's incredibly frustrating for guys to lose weight from their wee-wee to their nipples. I mean, that's just that by, like I said, us as humans, this animal, that's what we do for survival.
So what does he do?
You have to continue. Again, like I said at the beginning of the bit, last break, you have to really keep a long-term outlook on things and understand that to do that last little push to really lose weight around your belly area, it's going to take serious, serious dieting for a long period of time. And intense exercise, you know, not just like
can't be done.
I'm gonna jog a couple times a week and make sure that I don't drink any more soda. No, it's gonna take an incredibly concerted and focused effort, both dietarily and exercise wise.
But it can be done. It's not the type of thing where that's just loose skin or something like that that dieting won't help you, right?
Yes, everyone knows someone that's a genetic freak, and we all have that friend, both female and male, who eats what they want and doesn't exercise that hard.
We hate them, don't we?
But in reality, even normal people can have any body they want, really. It's just going to take a different level of effort depending on what that body is.
Thank you for the call, Patrick. Let's move on to Michael now. He's on line 5. He's got a great question here on the Psycho Body on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Hi, Michael. You're on the air.
Hey, guys. Hey, Lisa.
Hi.
Hey, I just wanted to ask Mike if he ever heard about intermittent fasting.
Yeah, I know a lot about it, actually. I was one of the first people in, like, kind of the quote-unquote mainstream that was really a big proponent of it. Martin Burkhan is the guy who's, like, the guru of it.
Of course.
And his website, leangains.com, is if you're interested in intermittent fasting, that's the place to go.
That sounds bad to me, intermittent fasting.
It's not. The fitness industry has tricked everybody based on totally baseless claims and zero science that you have to eat throughout the day to keep your metabolism stoked, and it's just not true. Unless you're a competitive athlete, it's something that involves high level endurance and anaerobic output. If you're an MMA fighter or a cyclist, intermittent fasting is not for you. If you're a regular Joe really looking to make your body look better, it is one of the best things out there, and I definitely recommend it.
Yeah. How long? How often do you fast?
For guys, 16 hours seems to be the perfect kind of middle ground, and that's daily. So you stop eating at 8 p.m., you don't eat again until 12 noon the next day.
Okay, okay, cool.
And you
do it
every day?
Exactly what I'm going to start doing that, and I heard like a good eating window will be like from, like, for example, 12 to 8.
Yeah.
Stop eating at 8 and then work out in the morning. And
you know where you heard that? From Mike's mouth about 30 seconds ago. Thank you for the call, Michael. Good luck with that. So that's how you live now, Mike? Is that every day for you?
No, again, that's not how I live because I just train too much and too hard.
Same here.
I can't go, like, I can't do morning cardio sessions on an empty stomach the way that I train. But like I said, if your main goal is just to look better and get a bikini body, it is something that I definitely recommend. And it's actually very healthy for the human system.
I want to go to Brooke next on line 8. But before I do, I want your opinion on this. There's a gym that opened up in Chicago, then Las Vegas, now just opened up in Dallas, where you have to be 50 pounds or more overweight in order to be able to join the gym. They say that it's too intimidating for people to go work out if they're a fat ass and everybody else is super fit. What do you think about that, Mike?
A part of me thinks, hey, that's great. As long as there's a place where they can feel welcome, you don't feel intimidated to go out. But another part of me says, you know what? If you really want to make that commitment to change your entire life, which is what profound weight loss or changing your physique will do, you have to kind of sack up and go to the gym as well. And I think that if you're overweight and you don't have the body you want, going to a gym where there are people who are at an elite level is actually the best thing for you. So part of me thinks, like, it's great to have a welcoming environment, but at the same time, you don't really want to have a welcoming environment for something you're trying to get rid of.
This place has no mirrors or anything on the inside. It is kind of a weird approach. All right, let's see what Brooke's got going on. She's on line 8 joining us on the Psycho Body. Hi, Brooke.
Hi, good morning. I lost 30 pounds since October, and I want to lose another, like, 20, 25 by summer.
Yeah.
I do intense cardio, like, 9-10 days a week. I don't stop.
9-10 days a week. That's impressive.
Wow.
Completely changes the space-time continuum.
Saying, like, you're supposed to take, like, a day or two off a week, but, I mean, I'll go, like, 10, 12, 13 days straight, and I do 45 minutes to an hour, stairs, elliptical, running, whatever, but I feel like I've kind of plateaued.
Yeah, it's because you're not training right, and you should take a break.
What does that mean? What should she do?
I mean, the number one mistake when it comes to exercise, the mistakes people make dietarily, there's a myriad of them.
You can go.
The number one mistake, especially women make when it comes to exercising, is a false sense of exertion. They're like, you don't understand. Just crushed it at the gym, burned 1,000 calories. You're like, nah, you watch TV and you're on an elliptical for 45 minutes. Like, you really have to understand what it means to train hard. And the best advice I can give to someone like you, Brooke, who's obviously very committed to getting your goal, is to hire a personal trainer. Because spending 9-12 days straight of being on an elliptical for 45 minutes is really not what you need to do to get that last 20 pounds. You really need to be working in different levels of lower rep ranges, higher rep ranges, cardio at high intensity for short intervals, cardio for long durations like you're doing. It has to be this because the human system's very complicated. And and if you want to be very good at running or being on an elliptical, you're doing great. If you want to change your body, then you have to really train the system for all its different energy. It's in different energy systems, which it has numerous.
And I've also been on a liquid diet for like 10 weeks.
Well, that's dumb too, Brooke.
I lost 30 pounds, but like,
Brooke.
Now I'm afraid to eat.
Brooke, don't be dumb.
Listen, Brooke, you just answered your own question.
It's funny that everything she's doing is working, yet everything is wrong. How do you explain that, Mike?
Because is it really working? That's the question.
Because will she just bounce back up
Going on Survivor, you'll lose 40 pounds. Great way to lose weight, but it's not working.
It's not long term.
Right.
Yeah.
All right, thank you, Brooke. Mike, I think you've appropriately crushed her spirit. She lost 30 pounds now, and now she feels like a failure. All right, let's talk to Justin, line one here on the Psycho Body, 1-800-520-1067. Mike Catherwood in studio with us. Justin, you're up.
Hey, what's up, guys? Thanks for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, the one thing to like keep myself from like going crazy while dieting, I have to have some of the stuff I still enjoy. What I was wondering is it better to kind of sprinkle in like daily, like a bag of chips, maybe a candy bar? Or go like 6 days a week, extreme, and then like have that one kind of cheat day.
I don't agree with constantly giving yourself treat. I think people over. When it comes to either quitting smoking or quitting drinking or dieting, people always want to pamper themselves too much. So I think it'd be too hard for the average person to say, I'm going to have a daily bag of chips, because that daily bag of chips could easily turn into a daily case of chips.
Yeah.
Very, very quickly.
Especially if you smoke weed.
And I do think that there is some value, though, Justin, into treating yourself because you don't want to psychologically break on your diet. My thing would be more of having a cheat meal day plan, not an entire cheat day, because an entire cheat day can really set you back. If you're waking up to cheesecake and going to sleep to fried chicken, that really will have an impact.
That's
on the
my diet every day.
I know it is. It's beautiful. On the previous 6 days of work. So it just say, like, Sunday night's going to be my night to sit down with NBC football and crush a pizza. But don't say Sunday all day I'm going to make it a gorge fest. Because something about going back to work on Monday and starting your week again does make it a little easier, in my opinion, to be like, okay, now's the day. It's time to go back to eating, you know, like a normal human being.
Right. All right. Great question, Justin. Thank you very much. I'm sorry that we're out of time. Mike, I hate to say this, but I think you gave out some pretty good advice today.
Oh, don't
thanks, brother.
It kind of sounded like you knew what you were talking about.
You know, double-check it with a professional.
You know what it is?
What?
I'm happy. I'm a married man. You know, it's just like everything in my life's falling into line, and I'm giving out good advice. Woo!
We'll talk to you next week.
All right. So hockey back, check.
Yes.
Fire beer mug, still not checked. Why's that? What's that problem?
Yeah, this standoff's been going off longer than the NHL lockout.
Don't care. Hockey's back.
I care. I still care.
I'd like to move
on.
I'd like to move on.
Beer mug's back too.
Yeah. Ralph is here. Time for Showbiz Beat Now on a Monday Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on?
As Bean mentioned, it is Monday. That means we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Texas Chainsaw 3D, the latest incarnation of the Texas Chainsaw Massacre horror films. $23 million in its opening weekend.
Ralph, did they intentionally leave the word massacre out of the title in the interest of some sort of political correctness or something to do with what's going on with Sandy Hook now? What, that just seems odd to me.
I'm not aware of any of those being part of the decision-making
But hasn't
process.
Every other movie in the series been a Texas Chainsaw Massacre and all of a sudden this one isn't? It's just weird.
We have no answer for that.
Sorry.
Okay, back to you.
Sorry. I'll get you some white extension cords. Maybe that'll just calm things down
Thank
for you.
That would help a lot, actually.
In your world of just tiny things that make you go, Django Unchained, second at the box office with $20 million. The Hobbit, Les Miserables. Parental Guidance, fifth with $10 million. Jack Reacher was sixth. This is 40. Lincoln, The Guilt Trip, and Promised Land rounding out the top 10 at the box office this weekend. The reason I bring up white extension cords is because Bean has a lot in common with Jennifer Lopez. According to Star Magazine, she has made some seriously diva-esque demands while staying at a hotel in Florida filming a new movie called Parker. Her rider, according to the contract, states that every flower at the hotel that she's staying at must be white.
Even the ones not in her room?
All of them. The entire hotel must be done in white flowers. Along the lines of things that are white. Any extension cord in her room or in her line of sight must be white as well.
We were marveling at that, going, who could care?
Hey, I have to agree with her there. I'm a fan of the white extension cord myself.
I have a preference. That doesn't make me a bad person.
Who has a preference when it comes to extension cords?
I'd like to disagree with you and say that does make you a bad person.
You just want something to look nice. That's all. Just the white extension cords just look cleaner. That's all.
Let's move on.
But I'm not with her on the flowers or anything like that.
Oh, well, that
yeah, because makes... that's crazy. Yeah,
right. That is crazy.
Nut job.
Jay Leno doesn't want Jimmy Fallon to have his show when he retires, according to Star Magazine.
He doesn't want anyone to ever have his show ever.
He doesn't want anyone to have any other shows other than him, whether he's retired or not. Star Magazine's reporting that he wants Chelsea Handler to take over.
What?
Yeah.
No.
Just another reason
no.
to hate Jay Leno.
Does he no. want somebody to fail after him?
Now, of course, Saturday Night Live producer Lorne Michaels is behind Jimmy Fallon, so odds are Jay Leno will lose that battle if and when he vacates the Tonight Show. But I thought that was an interesting choice, that the least funny guy in late night wants the other least funny person yeah. in late night to take over his job.
Jimmy Kimmel, now, by the way, is saying goodbye to midnight tonight. He's got a very special
right.
episode, and then tomorrow night he goes to 11:35.
Is there any date by which we think Mr. Leno may step down finally? Is he? What's the story on that?
They're
How long is he going to go?
Talking about, but no one, as far as I know, has put a timeline on it. But rumor has that he's considering retiring. So I guess they're already talking about the heir apparent for The Tonight Show. And Jimmy Fallon, since he follows up Leno, I guess, has been discussed as well.
I imagine so.
Yeah. Unless Chelsea Handler starts having sex with the head of NBC, I don't think she's going to get that show. That's usually how she gets her shows on television.
Allegedly.
No, she was banging Ted Herbert, the president of E! That's how she got the gig.
Okay.
That's not alleged. That happened. That's science.
We should all try that.
See how far it gets us. And add George Clooney's name to yet another successful enterprise. He apparently is launching a new line of tequila with Cindy Crawford's husband, Randy Gerber. Those two are best friends. Apparently, they've worked hard for years to create the ultimate blend. Yeah, you know what that means? They just drank an enormous amount of tequila until they found one they liked. They're going to slap their label on it. They are scheduled to do appearances in Los Angeles, Vegas, Dallas, and Miami to introduce this new tequila of theirs before they roll out the line later this month. But just another venture that Clooney will get into, and I'm sure we'll excel at, and we'll make him another couple $100 million.
Sure.
And Charlie Sheen's got a new girlfriend. Us Weekly reports that he's been spending some time in Cabo San Lucas with a young lady named Georgia Jones. You may be familiar with her work if you've seen such films as Naughty Nannies, All Alone 4, and Nymphetamine.
Oh, that was
Charlie
a good one.
Sheen, that's the perfect combination. A nymphomaniac and edamines.
You like some amphetamines,
all
I imagine.
All the edamines. Anything with ketamine,
sure.
amphetamine,
sure.
anything with an amine at the end, he's a big fan of. So he's got it all, this Georgia Jones. I looked her up online. She's not unattractive.
Oh, no, she's attractive.
She's a little deficient in the boob department, but that's just me. That's how I like them.
But he'll have other goddesses to pick up the slack, I'm sure.
I think he's a one-goddess man these days. Seems wow. just have really? The one goddess, yeah. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Lauren Cohen from The Walking Dead. She plays Maggie on that program. She is 31 years old. Dustin Diamond from Saved by the Bell fame. Screech. Let's not forget his appearance on Celebrity Fit Club, too.
Oh,
very,
sure.
Very entertaining. He's 36. Jeremy Renner from The Bourne Legacy and The Hurt Locker. Soon to be seen in Hansel and Gretel. He's 42. Rex Lee, who played Lloyd on Entourage. Lloyd! 44 years old. Nicolas Cage turns 49. Katie Couric's 56. David Caruso is 57 years old today. And John Rich of Big and Rich fame is 39 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
You are just moments away, by the way, from maybe going to Australia. K-Rock's World Tour 2013 destination number one is Linkin Park in Sydney, Australia. In about 5 minutes or so, we'll give you a chance to call in and win Linkin Park's latest album called Living Things. And you get on the standby boarding list. Someone is going to Australia. It's Monday morning here on the Kevin and Bean Show. You guys are going to love this so much. You know the game we play, Chloe or Snooki?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, we read their tweets and then we try and guess which one of them wrote it.
Well, here's a new game that we're going to play because it seems that Jay-Z is going to be scoring Baz Luhrmann's Great Gatsby movie.
Okay.
That's, of course, the movie that's being made from Baz Luhrmann. It's coming out in a couple of months. Kevin, you remember The Great Gatsby, maybe considered by many to be the greatest American novel ever written.
No.
But go ahead. Just a degree in English. That's all. That's all he got.
And it is coming out from Baz Luhrmann, who, as you know, always puts the contemporary music in the period pieces like he did with Romeo and Juliet, you remember, and with Moulin Rouge and stuff like that. So the game that we're going to be playing here is I'm going to be reading lines, and you're going to have to tell me whether they are from The Great Gatsby or from Jay-Z.
The Great Gatsby or Jay-Z?
Yes, huh. Correct. Right. Jay-Z or Great Gatsby? Hit it, Steve.
Is it Jay-Z or The Great Gatsby? 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 Jay-Z, swag. Gatsby, swag. Jay-Z, swag. Gatsby, swag. Who can it be?
time now for the game. All right, so I'm going to read a line. Is it going to be something from the lyrics of one of the great Jay-Z songs, or is it going to be F. Scott Fitzgerald himself from back in the 1920s when he wrote the book The Great Gatsby? You guys ready for number
Should
one?
Should be easy.
Here we go. Number one, your money's too young. See me when it gets older.
Gatsby.
Your money's too young. See me when it gets older.
Gatsby. Gatsby.
It definitely could be Gatsby.
Gatsby.
Yeah.
You're all saying Gatsby.
Yeah. Only because Ralph said it first.
Let's see.
It's your boy Jay-Z.
Wow. Oh, Jay-Z for that okay. one. How about that? All right. I'm 5 years too old to lie to myself and call it an honor.
That's
I'm
Gatsby.
5 years
Gatsby.
Too old to lie to myself and call it an honor. Listen Gatsby. To Kevin glomming on to whoever says it first.
Simple. That's
definitely Gatsby.
Gatsby.
Ralph, how about you?
Gatsby.
Gatsby.
Yep.
Okay. Oh, how about that? All right. Women run around too much these days to suit me. They meet all kinds of crazy fish.
They meet all kinds of crazy fish?
Women run around too much these days to suit me. They meet all kinds of crazy fish.
It's Gatsby.
Jay.
Gatsby.
I'm going with Jay.
That's Jay.
Gatsby.
Gatsby. Gatsby. Okay. How about that? Anyone keeping track, by the way? Anyone keeping
no,
score in the
not game? At all. I nope. believe Ralph's ahead 2-1 so far.
No, we were all wrong on the first one.
Okay.
Ralph's ahead 1.
All right, by one.
Thank you, Muggs. All right, Jay-Z or Gatsby? His shirts piled like bricks in stacks a dozen high.
Jay-Z.
Gatsby.
Jay-Z.
His shirts
Jay-Z.
Piled like bricks in stacks a dozen high.
Jay-Z.
Jay-Z. Gatsby.
Wow. Stop it! How about that?
Wow. All right, it's
That's
a tie.
That's got the show. It was a little hipper you than maybe we I thought he was, right?
Wow.
All right, Jay-Z or Gatsby? No, no, don't thank me. This is just how my suit is stitched.
Jay-Z.
No, no, don't thank me. This is just how my suit is stitched.
Hmm. I think you want us to think that's Gatsby, but it's
I don't
Jay-Z.
Care what you think. I'm just reading it.
I think it's Jay-Z, too.
Jay-Z.
It's your boy, Jay-Z.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, a couple more. Males shouldn't be jealous. That's a female trait.
That's Gatsby.
That is also Jay-Z.
I'm going to go Gatsby.
It's your boy, Jay-Z. Oh,
thank you, Kevin, everybody.
We're all tied up.
All tied.
All right.
All tied up. All right, are we to sudden death here?
Yep.
I sell ice
Jay-Z.
In the
winter. Oh, sorry.
I sell ice in the winter. By the way, Kevin, did you read The Great Gatsby? You have to read The Great Gatsby if you have a degree in English,
I'm
I
sure
imagine,
I did.
Right?
Move on.
Okay. I sell ice in the winter. I sell fire in hell.
I'm going Jay-Z.
I think Jay-Z is wrong.
I'm going Gatsby.
It's your boy Jay-Z.
I just lost.
Yeah, you're out.
You're out. All right. I don't know. Ralph, Lisa, and Ralph.
All right.
Ralph
All
and
right.
Lisa. Okay. Okay. Sudden death here for Ralph and Lisa. It takes two to make an accident. It takes two to make an accident. Jay-Z or Gatsby?
Oh, that's a real coin flip.
I think Gatsby.
I think Gatsby, too.
Gatsby.
Yeah.
Wow.
We're still
we're
tied.
Too good.
We're still
too
tied.
Smart. All right. Well, I think I already have one more left, so right. hopefully right. this will just... I got two more left. All right. I like a girl who spends a little cash for her shoes. I like a girl who spends a little cash for her shoes. Yeah, Jay-Z or Gatsby?
Jay-Z.
Jay-Z, yeah.
It's your boy, Jay-Z.
Okay. All right. Comes tie. Down to this. That's Let's done. See. Could end as a tie. We tip the waiter $100 to keep the ice cold. We tip the waiter $100 to keep the ice cold.
Jay-Z.
Gatsby.
Ooh. It's your boy, Jay-Z.
Ladies and gentlemen, Lisa May!
Oh, how about that?
Is it Jay-Z or the Great Gatsby? Is it Jay-Z or the Great Gatsby?
You're going to be very excited. We just booked Ralph Garman from the Joe Schmo Show to join us Ooh. In studio
I
on
heard
tomorrow's
that was,
Kevin and Bean Show.
I heard that was tentative.
Really? I think it's really?
It's tentative,
what's happening?
Yeah.
Okay.
Very busy
well, we're
tomorrow.
Very excited. Joe Schmo returns to Spike Network tomorrow night, and apparently Mr. Garman is going to be, if he deems us worthy, he's going to be joining us in studio tomorrow to talk about. In the meantime,
phoner,
a guy with
phoner,
a...
Phoner, I heard.
Really?
Yeah, I heard just it's a phone call.
That's weird.
In the meantime, a guy with a very similar name joins us in studio now.
Yeah, the guy, I've seen that guy's work. He's good.
I don't think
he's
so.
He's way more buff than you are.
Yeah, he's huge. He's massive. No. Makes Psycho Mike look like a girl.
Yeah.
Guy's just a stud. Just everything he does, you just look at him and see, what a stud. I'd like to be more
really,
like cause
him. Really? Because it doesn't seem like he gets that much work.
Doesn't it? It's Monday. Let's take a look at the new, not the new at all, the top 10 movies at the box office. see how much money people are spending over the weekend to see what films. Texas Chainsaw 3D made $23 million this weekend. That was number one. People love to see women dismembered with chainsaws. I've always said this.
You have? I've heard you say that.
You know, I've been trying to get that more and more into the projects that I got involved in. I was going to do that Downton Abbey show on PBS. They're going to cast me in that. And I said, do you have chainsaws and girls being dismembered? They said, no. I said, well, this doesn't look like a worthy project. So I passed.
That was a good choice.
Yeah, I think so. Django Unchained, $20 million, number two. The Hobbit was third. Les Mis was fourth. Parental Guidance came in at number five. Jack Reacher was sixth. This weekend, This Is 40, Lincoln, The Guilt Trip, and Promised Land. Rounding out your top 10 box office this weekend. Josh Brolin rang in the new year, probably in a less than desirable way. Probably not what he had in mind when he went out on New Year's Eve.
Okay.
Ended up in handcuffs.
Okay.
He was in Santa Monica, and he got popped for public intoxication just before midnight. On December 31st, just before you could ring in the new year, they slapped the cuffs on him.
This is Santa Monica!
By the time he got out of jail, it was 7:14 a.m. So there he had missed all the celebrations, all the shenanigans. He came out and paid a fine of $250, and I believe he won't face any further charges. I think he's done. So, Diane Lane just pulled up and Escalade, I'm sure, and he just got in all hang-faced, get back into the back seat, and just fell asleep. It's a bad way to celebrate your New Year's.
Well, it's not what you want.
Public intoxication on December 31st. If there's ever a night that you should get a pass,
yeah, absolutely.
Where the cop says, hey, you know what? You're a little overserved. Why don't you go home and sleep it off? You know, come on.
He wasn't driving. This would be an entirely different situation if they'd have pulled him over for DUI.
Yes.
Right? He's walking down the street.
Yeah. He was just out and about.
Yeah, it's insane.
While we're talking about drinking and driving, Thomas Gibson of Criminal Minds was popped early yesterday morning. Popped by police for DUI charges. Here's the thing. He was trying to go through an intersection, and authorities there told him that that part of downtown Los Angeles was closed to vehicles due to a half marathon. He said, oh, okay, and then proceeded to drive through it anyway.
He was driving on the other half.
That's right. It's on a half marathon. I'm on the non-marathon half. Cops don't like that when they tell you to do something and then you go ahead and do it anyway.
No, he failed fans.
Failed the test and was taken into custody around 1:30 a.m. yesterday morning. So that's bad news.
He was Greg on Dharma and Greg. That's
yes.
The guy we're talking about,
sure,
right? Okay,
yeah.
Gotcha.
Currently a star of Criminal Minds. At MTV's new series, Buck Wild did very well for itself in its premiere episode, pulling in around 2.5 million viewers.
That's a lot.
It is a lot. Now, it's not what Jersey Shore numbers were at their peak, and I think the network was hoping it would pick up that audience now that there's no more Jersey Shore for them to watch. But if you consider that Jersey Shore premiered with just 1.4 million viewers, 2.5 looks pretty good. In fact, it did better than the Snooki and J-Wall spinoff, which pulled in 2.4 million viewers. So Buck Wild doing very well for itself.
Is America going to fall in love with these West Virginian hicks? What do you think, Ralph?
LaQuisha thinks so. She was so over the moon about doing it again next week.
I don't think so.
Very excited.
Because other than Shane, S-H-A-I-N, Shane, they're not very distinctive. They're all kind of the same thing. The one thing you say about Jersey Shore is Jersey Shore had very distinct personalities. I mean, you could tell Vinny from Ronnie, for example. You know who those guys are. Easily identifiable. These kids are sort of all the same.
Yeah.
Any of them going to run into the wall head first?
No, I don't know. There's always hope.
Hopefully.
Yeah. Hope they jump off the roof into the dump truck swimming pool after all the water's been removed. That's what I'm shooting for at some point. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Lindsay Fonseca from How I Met Your Mother and Kick-Ass and Nikita, 26 years old today. She's a good deal right there.
Okay, all right.
Lauren Cohen, Maggie from The Walking Dead, she's 31 years old. Dustin Diamond, he played Screech on Saved by the Bell.
Yes, he did.
And then went on to a very, very successful career as... He must have done something else, right? He must have done something.
Phantom Pooper.
He was the Phantom Pooper.
I know that.
Celebrity Fit Club, he was on that.
Yeah?
Yeah, he made a lot of enemies on that show.
Everyone hated him.
Everyone hated him on that.
Sure.
36 years old today. Jeremy Renner from The Bourne Legacy and The Hurt Locker, The Avengers, soon to be seen as Hansel in Hansel and Gretel.
That looks so good.
Does look good. 42 years old. Rex Lee, Lloyd from Entourage.
Lloyd!
44 years old. Nicolas Cage is 49. Katie Couric turns 56. David Caruso, of course, got his big break on NYPD Blue. Left after one season from that show.
I don't need this anymore.
I'm going to make movies. Too good for this. Didn't work again for 50 years. Then came back and started doing CSI Miami. And John Rich of the country band Big and Rich. John Rich also on Celebrity Apprentice with Donald Trump. Big and Rich, known primarily as a country band, but occasionally they like to fight for their right to party.
Well, your mom busted in, said, "What's that noise?" Come, mommy, just chillin'. It's a Big and Rich boy. You gotta fight for your right to party with the Red Solo Cup.
I don't know why that has to exist.
Fight for your right to party with the Red Solo Cup.
Yeah,
that's true.
They had another one of your all-time favorites, Ralph. If you remember, we used to make fun of Save a Horse, Ride a Cowboy. That was them, too.
Yeah.
That was Big and Rich. Remember them?
Oh, they're good.
It's the only thing about country music, it's deep. It's got a lot of meaning. It's got a lot of significance to it. It really can change the way you look on life. F country music. John Rich is 39 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning on All New Kevin and Bean Show, hockey is back.
Hockey
is back. It's back. It's
Flyers.
Back. Flyers. Kings. Stanley Kings. Cup winning Los Angeles Kings.
There would be no Kings without the Flyers.
Talk to Luke Robitaille tomorrow morning about the shortened season, when it starts, and all the details.
I think the playoffs start Friday, don't they?
I believe that's true.
We got a 49 game season, I think.
49, I heard 48, yeah, same
Something
thing.
Like that. But still, plenty of hockey.
Yeah, excited.
Yeah.
It's back. Highlights of Honey Boo Boo.
Woo!
I don't know if you saw, but for some reason last night, they aired the Halloween special.
Well, sure.
Because it's not Happy New Year, it's Happy Boo Year on TLC, Kevin. That's why.
Are you kidding?
That's what they said. That was the promo. It was Happy Boo Year, the return of Honey Boo Boo.
I get turned down for my Bachelor update. We're going to do a Honey Boo Boo recap?
Oh, absolutely.
F you people.
Every week.
I'm watching Bachelor.
We're also going to take calls from people who minutia is very important to you, like Bean and his...
I need white extension cords.
Ridiculous white extension cords.
Where's
That's
my
not
blue pen?
Ridiculous at all. That's not ridiculous,
so,
either.
Do I need to pick my phone number so the numbers are correct? Bang!
That's what I want to hear next. Just bang! Plus, coming from up on the island.
Plus, maybe you've heard of NFL star Hines Ward. We're going to have him on the program tomorrow.
Heine!
How about that?
Heine. I love Heine.
And hopefully we're going to get a young actor by the name of Ralph Garman on the show tomorrow talking about Joe Schmo.
Don't see that happening.
Tentative.
He's very busy.
Very busy, but hopefully we can at least get him to call us for a minute or two.
Actor Ralph Garman doesn't get out of bed for anything less than $10,000 a day or before noon.
So that's tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin.